President Trump, as a supporter who voted for you three times, I am hoping and praying that you will revisit what Barack Obama and Joe Biden got rid of back in 2013, which is the Smith-Lund Act, which held news corporations accountable for lying to the American people and spreading propaganda instead of truth. I think instead of bringing it back as a Smith-Mundt Act, you name it the Charlie Kirk Act, you make it a law, and you make it damn near impossible for these people to continue to lie to the American public, which has brought chaos, hatred, division, and anarchy all across this country.
The Smith-Mundt Act was twisted 13 years ago by Manchurian candidate Barack Obama into a tool to foment a color revolution in the United States. Back in 1948, President Harry S. Truman signed the Smith-Mundt Act into law, a Cold War era move to counter Soviet propaganda with a global charm offensive. The State Department was tasked with painting a picture of the U.S. as the land of the free, sending students, scholars, and professionals overseas to build bridges and showcase our way of life.
The United States is trying to get the Washington view of the crisis to the Iranian people through the voice of America.
But here's the caveat that continues to fly under the radar when it comes to the Smith-Mundt Act. The act explicitly banned government-produced materials from being distributed domestically. Why? To protect the American people from being fed state propaganda and to keep the domestic media industry from getting steamrolled by the whims of lobbyists and the madness of politicians. And more importantly, but apparently not a concern at the time, to protect the First Amendment rights and organic consensus from an intelligence department swaying Americans toward total mind control and rapid decline. Truman had signed the National Security Act of 1947 into law, which had also created the CIA. Truman created a monster, but the Smith-Mundt Act was a leash, whether they knew it or not. The modernization allowed the State Department and the Broadcasting Board of Governors, now rebranded as the U.S. Agency for Global Media, to make their foreign-targeted materials, like videos, audio, and films, available inside the U.S. upon request, including through FOIA demands and online platforms. But the floodgates had been opened, and the safeguards are now as flimsy as a paper wall in a hurricane.
Very simply, Obama gave it a reboot in 2012. So, no matter how outrageous the propaganda may be, it's completely legal.
Propaganda, in other words, a false narrative for whatever specific purpose, is now much, much easier to perpetrate on the people.
This modernization didn't just make government content accessible. It unleashed a torrent of psychological warfare that's been weaponized by the mainstream media, creating a feedback loop of division and radicalization.
So when we say Donald Trump is a fascist, fascism, a huge component of fascism, is uniting racism, bigotry, a form of racist nationalism.
This is, we are now living in a fascist dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. And we are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country. We're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist form of government.
59 million mentally ill Americans, folks already struggling with anxiety, depression, or worse, who no longer have a mental health care system because it was gutted by progressive failures, being bombarded with carefully curated messages that amplify fear, distrust, and outrage. The mainstream media, already a battleground for corporate agendas appealing to the organic demands of an American audience, gets outflanked by government-backed content, pitting neighbor against neighbor in a cultural civil war. And where does this lead?
Take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Peace the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
And we have to keep our eye on the war, and everybody needs to pick up a weapon and get involved, because this is for the safety and lasting of the country.
The modernization of Smith-Mundt has fueled a pipeline of radical ideas.
Chase. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
American Journal. I am your host, Brianna Morello. I'm getting used to this. You're going to get used to this too because, you guys, I am officially replacing Harrison Smith. Harrison Smith going over to War Room and you're stuck with me. So congratulations. Good morning, everyone. Very excited to be here. A lot going on in the world today. We're going to be dropping in and out of the hearing that's going on right now with the FBI Director, Kash Patel. He is speaking to the U.S. Senate Committee on Judiciary regarding oversight of the Bureau. Folks, we're expected to see him get grilled because there's a lot to grill him on in regards to the left's going to ask him a lot of the questions in regards to the firings of FBI employees. Obviously, you and I both know those are the ones who targeted Americans for their political beliefs. Those are the ones who were tossed out of the agency, but they're not happy with that. And we're also expected and hopeful that someone's going to grill him regarding the investigation of Charlie Kirk's assassination. There's so many questions that need to be answered. And according to a lot of the reports out there, there's a lot that needs to be discussed. 12 hours. It took him 12 hours to release and even just hand over the surveillance footage to the FBI director. According to the New York Times, Kash Patel wasn't very happy about that. And so I could only imagine what's going to happen today when he's expected to speak at this hearing. So again, we're going to be jipping in and out of that, so prepare for that. We're also going to be talking about how the Trump administration has suddenly declared war on hate speech. It's happening. Apparently, Pam Bondi's not a fan of free speech. She's actually going to redefine free speech and what it really means. And then she's going to backtrack a little bit because she's going to get some pushback on that front. It's all unraveling as we speak, but the comments that she made yesterday are deeply, deeply concerning. So I'm going to dive into that with you guys as well. And there's a lot going on. President Trump fighting, combating crime throughout the country, just launched a new mission in Memphis, Tennessee. And that's a big one because Memphis, Tennessee is a hub for human trafficking. And so if you're going to want to go after the human traffickers, you got to go after the top areas. And that's one of them that you're going to go after. Plus, we're learning more and more about Charlie Kirk's alleged assassin. We're learning that he did use Discord. This is according to several reports. He was using Discord to communicate with friends after the shooting. So I'm going to talk about that at great length because we're learning more and more, unfortunately, not from the FBI or local authorities in Utah, but from reports. From reports. And that's not how it should be. It should be, if you want to be the most transparent agency ever, most transparent administration, you should be able to tell us what's actually going on. And then we also have President Trump who's saying, I'm not afraid to go to war with Antifa and all of these radical left-wing groups. In fact, he's preparing to designate them as terrorist organizations, and rightfully so. Should have been done a long time ago, but thankfully that is now going to be a top priority. So we've got a jam-packed program for you today. We're also going to cover a little bit in New York. I've got my good friend Liz Joy joining the program in just a few moments. She's a former New York congressional candidate, but she's also got a lot of insight into what's going on right now in New York City in that mayor's race, because that's the one you want to keep your eyes on, because potentially there's going to be a communist elected to run New York City. This is a big, big deal, folks. Normally Democrats lie. They don't tell you the truth about their political beliefs, and they try to hide it until they're in their powerful positions, and then they just totally pivot and ditch everything that they were saying on the campaign trail. But this individual, Zohran Mamdani, he's not hiding. He's telling exactly what he's going to do. he doesn't want law enforcement to do their job. So we're going to talk to her about that in a little bit as well. Plus, Mark Mitchell is actually going to be joining us too, because he has a poll he's going to break on this show in just a few moments. It's regarding, it's regarding a lot of things. Number one, he's going to be discussing the death penalty in that North Carolina stabbing. So he's going to go through the data that just came out from that. He's also going to be discussing how Americans are actually very supportive of President Trump going to war with the drug cartels. That's their latest poll as well. Plus, they've got another poll coming out too this morning. He'll have that for us in just a few moments. We're excited for that. So there's so much to dive into. So let's kick things off. Number one, you know, yesterday we talked about Discord. And we talked about specifically what the allegations were and what the platform was being used for. Now, according to the Washington Post, Discord was being used by the suspect after he assassinated allegedly Charlie Kirk. He's accused. He hasn't admitted to it to law enforcement yet. We were told he's not cooperating with law enforcement. So, according to the Washington Post, there is an admission. They're alleging that he said, "Hey guys, I have bad news for you all. It was me at UVU yesterday. I'm sorry for all of this. I'm surrendering through a sheriff friend in a few moments. Thanks for all the good times and laughs." Now that was the message the Washington Post says he sent his friends after he allegedly turned, well, after he turned himself in for allegedly killing Charlie Kirk. He's not admitting that to local law enforcement though. The reports do suggest that he told this to his father when his father confronted him. So we have to say allegedly because, again, he's not confessing to anything. FBI Director Kash Patel was asked yesterday on Fox News about the very latest regarding the investigation and also the Discord angle to all of this. This is how the FBI director responded.
"In order to properly adjudicate this matter and let law enforcement hand off information into evidence for a court of law for prosecution, we have to go out and get search warrants. We have to go out and get search warrants of the identifiers that were then built off of the prior search warrants. And we are doing that. And we are going to be interviewing scores of people on not just these chats on Discord, but any communications that this individual have. We've seized multiple electronic devices from the home of the suspect and his romantic partner. We've got computers. We've got laptops. We've got gaming systems. We've got cell phones. All of that is being triaged by the FBI because that's what we do. And the resources that the Attorney General has dedicated to this mission is allowing us to move at the speed we have. As you said, 33 hours. 33 hours, Sean, this individual is apprehended."
33 hours. Okay, but what he's not telling you, is the FBI didn't find the suspect. The father of the suspect turned him in. Because the father saw the surveillance footage, what, according to the New York Times, was withheld from Kash Patel and Dan Bongino for 12 hours. And then when he noticed that it looked like his son, he apparently confronted his son and his son allegedly confessed. And then that's when they turned him over to the local sheriff. So wasn't really great work by the FBI, although I understand why the FBI director would want to cook this up as a massive victory for him and his team. But the reality is he's got a lot of snakes on that boat. A lot of snakes. People who withheld for some reason, if the New York Times is correct, and still he hasn't said it's inaccurate, withheld surveillance footage for both him, the FBI director, and the deputy director, Mr. Dan Bongino. Now, just a reminder, folks, in case you missed it, the report said this specifically, the New York Times coming out and saying that these specific agents who were able to obtain the surveillance footage withheld it from both the FBI director, deputy director, and they both ripped them on a call with over 200 agents. So again, it's not really a win for the FBI here. Now I get it. They want to pretend like it is, but it's not great police work. Because if that surveillance footage would have been released sooner, guess what? We may have actually caught the person sooner. Now, thankfully, that 12-hour delay did not lead to a fatality. But it is deeply concerning that it took them this long to release it. So we're hoping as we continue to wait to see if the FBI director, Kash Patel, when he starts to speak. We're hoping that there's someone, I don't care what side of the aisle you are, grill him on that. Grill him on that. Because this is why people need to be fired. They need to be fired. You know, there's intentionally people within the FBI, and this is how Democrats, they did a great job of doing this. They put their own like little props throughout the FBI, people who are going to work exclusively for Democrats. And you're seeing it time and time again. Now, again, you can't just fire someone, but we know the FBI can put an individual, an agent, on an unpaid suspension for years without having to justify it, because they did it to so many of these FBI whistleblowers for far too long. So play by the Biden regime's rules. Let's go. Toss these people. Now, I know it's easier said than done, but there's a lot of filth. There's more bad guys than good guys within the FBI. And it's still truthful to this day. Now, again, I know, easier said than done. But you know who did a great job at this? DNI Tulsi Gabbard. When she came on board, she brought her own team in. And everyone else on the outskirts had no say over what her team was doing. They were shunned, and rightfully so. Because you have to understand the game that's being played by the left. You have to understand it. Tulsi Gabbard gets it. She came in with people she trusts and made a team out of them. And that's why she's probably doing the best job so far. I would say it's her than Pete Hegseth over at DOD. It's not easy. But folks, I know the FBI director had a plan in place prior to being sworn in. A source showed me what the plan was. And although the plan was well detailed, guess what? It hasn't really been carried out to its full extent. And also, a lot of the things that he was looking to do weren't done in the time frame that he was looking for. So I'm going to tell you this. I'm excited to hear what's going to happen today. I hope he's grilled, because I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. He has had enough time to fix a lot of these issues. And we can't know what these issues are that have been fixed, unfortunately, because every time we ask, it's personal information that the FBI cannot disclose. And I understand that, because they could be sued by these individuals if they tell you they were fired, or if they tell you specifically what they were fired for. So they have to be very particular in how they deliver this message. But, folks, it's not looking good. And I understand why he'd want to tout this as a massive victory. But it's not truthful. And we're going to grill anyone. I don't care what side you're on. Because transparency is key, and that's what we ask for. That's what we voted for. And speaking about what we voted for, so many Americans have had enough of living in cities around this country that are no longer safe. And it's not just people living in the big cities, too. If you live in rural America, you're probably seeing a lot of this bleed into your local counties. But President Trump made a campaign promise, and he was going to tackle crime, and he is living up to that commitment. Obviously, we saw what he did in Washington, D.C., the drastic drop in crime stats. But now he's taking his efforts over to Memphis. And I am very excited for this. Now, folks, in case you don't know, we're going to dive into this later in the show with my good friend Sonia Labosco. She's going to be joining us. She actually runs an organization that helps out victims of human trafficking, of sex trafficking. And this is a big one for her. But Memphis is really the hub for a lot of the human trafficking that goes on around the country. And a lot of the times, too, it's these rural areas that you wouldn't even know. That's the reason why they pick those areas. But President Trump spoke out yesterday about signing the new memorandum on combating crime in Memphis. And this is what he had to say.
Today, at the request of Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee, who's standing with us, as you know, I'm signing a presidential memorandum to establish the Memphis Safe Task Force, and it's very important because of the crime that's going on, not only in Memphis, in many cities, and we're going to take care of all of them step by step, just like we did in D.C. We have virtually no crime in D.C. right now, and we're going to keep it that way. It's our nation's capital. We're going to keep it that way, or we're going to federalize it if we had to, but we don't have to anymore because it's in such great shape. This task force will be a replica of our extraordinarily successful efforts here. And you'll see it's a lot of the same thing, although the numbers here are really something. They're really bad. Now, we did send FBI in about 4 months ago to work, and it brought some of the numbers down. And they did a great job, but we're sending in the big force now.
That's what you voted for, folks. You voted to purge the filth out of your big cities. And President Trump is delivering on that promise. He's going for Memphis first. Well, D.C. was first, then Memphis was second. Man, Chicago. Wait until Chicago happens. Isn't it crazy that the fact that the president is sitting here and saying he wants people to live in this country in a safe community, and it somehow has the left so unhinged? He could say anything, and they would just take the opposite turn on it. He wants world peace. They don't support it. He wants safer communities. They don't support it. He really has a way, and I don't think I've ever seen a politician, and that's probably what makes him so special, but he has a way of going out there and showing the ugly on the other side. That's why there's so many people who supported him and continue to vote for him, right? We've had three elections. So many people have voted for him who normally wouldn't have voted for him, wouldn't have voted Republican. Why is that? Because he has a way of showing the ugly on the other side. You see, they're going to push back. They're going to sue. They're going to try to stop him from what? Stopping women and children from being raped. Stopping individuals who are just simply walking to their cars at 9 o'clock at night from being murdered and robbed. That's what Democrats don't want for their cities. And there's definitely a direct correlation between cities that are run by Democrats and Republicans and rural areas, I guess you want to say. And if you just look at the crime stats, it's just insane, the difference. Folks, I hate going to big cities. My stomach turns because you know why? Number one, you're in a very vulnerable position. But number two, self-defense isn't welcome there. We see it time and time again. Here we're in Texas, and guess what? When you get to Austin, it's scary as heck out here. Homeless people everywhere. Drug users everywhere. And people just tolerate it. Why do they tolerate this? Does anyone know? Why would you continue to vote for politicians that don't clean up their streets, that don't make your community safer? It's just interesting to see lay out, and I'm excited for President Trump taking this issue on. It's a very important one that's worth the fight because it shows you how simple it is. All he had to do was bring the National Guard into Washington, D.C., and how quickly things turned over. In fact, it's so good that the D.C. mayor is now forced to admit, you got it right. The Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, who was also formerly President Trump's attorney, was there yesterday as he was signing the memorandum, and he had this to add on top of President Trump's remarks.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, look, I think it's been said for the past 15 minutes, the president ran on making this country safe again, and we do not make this country safe again unless we go into our cities where there's the most violent among us and go street by street and block by block and arrest the men and women in this country that are destroying cities and communities for the rest of us. And so what we plan on doing, as the governor said and the senator just said, this has been a problem in Memphis for a long time. We plan on delivering Memphis back to the citizens that are there to raise their families, to go to church, to be in their communities. That's our goal, and that's what we plan on doing, whether it takes 2 weeks or 2 years. That's what we're going to do.
Purge the filth from these cities. That's the message coming out of the Trump administration. They're looking to do just that. And if these Democrats don't want to do it voluntarily, well, the federal government will do it. I've never actually cheerleaded for the federal government intervening in any possible way, but this is the one that you're going to want to take up when it comes to this, because local officials aren't going to do their jobs. They don't care. They have security details. They don't care what happens to you. Sad story. Sad story. And then they move on. Oh, you were robbed at gunpoint? Don't fight back. Hand over your items. We saw that in Canada. If someone breaks into your home, let them have whatever they want. Don't fight back. Yeah, that should reduce crime. It's absolutely egregious, but thankfully that's a fight President Trump is taking on. And again, it's not the only fight President Trump is looking to take on. Now, the FBI director has just made his way, and it looks like he is about to speak. Let's listen in.
Committee, it's an honor to be here with you today as the ninth director of the FBI. I want to provide by providing a briefing into the tragic assassination of Charlie Kirk. It's important that this FBI is transparent as possible without jeopardizing investigations. Charlie Kirk was shot at 12:23 p.m. on September 10th. I think this timeline is critically important. Less than a day later, the FBI, at my direction, released the first set of images of the suspect that we captured based on our analysis on the ground. Later that evening, while conducting extensive interviews and cell phone analysis and also flying out evidence response teams and hostage rescue teams and evidence tacticians who were collecting evidence in live time and flying them back to Washington, D.C. in our laboratories for immediate analyses, we were able to extract video from the campus feed and at my direction at 8 p.m. in partnership and promise to working with the public to bring this fugitive to justice. We released a newly never before seen video of the suspect. We also released new enhanced photos of the suspect. A few hours later, that suspect was in custody pursuant to the interrogation of the suspect's own father, who stated, "When I saw that video that you released, I recognized it was my son, and I confronted him, and he was handed over to lawful law enforcement authorities." That is the FBI working with the public, as I promised, being transparent and providing critical information along the way in the manhunt for the suspect or suspects involved in Charlie's assassination. We received over 11,000 tips in the first 24 hours alone. We received 16,000 submissions to our digital media enterprise and tip lines. That is a large number of material to go through. I want to thank President Trump and the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, for their unwavering support and commitment resources to this and all investigations. I also want to especially thank our colleagues in Utah, Governor's Office, DPS, and the sheriffs out there. State and local law enforcement partnership has been a cornerstone since I took over at the FBI, and it was no different here. And our teams in Salt Lake City, our SACs out there across the country, our lab technicians in Quantico, who raced to complete the evidence analysis so the public could have the answers they need. These people worked through the night without sleep for days on end. They are to be commended. They are not to be attacked. And many, many, many more people I don't have time to thank here today. But I do want to thank the American people especially. The mission of the FBI is for them and with them and by, with, and through them. And it's that mission and that ethos that I brought to this investigation and so many others, and that's why that suspect is in custody. We cannot do our job without the American public and credible reporting in the media. And that's why Tyler Robinson is in custody today, about to face charges. The last time I appeared before this committee was in January for my confirmation hearing.
Is my mic on?
I told you then that if I were confirmed, I would provide and do everything I can to provide a safe and secure America. I promise to provide the courageous men and women of the FBI the tools and resources they need to crush violent crime and defend the homeland. I pledge myself to commit to full transparency, oversight, and accountability so we could restore the public's trust in the FBI. That's exactly what I've done. Under this administration, the FBI has arrested more than 23,000 violent criminals. That's more than twice for the same time period from last year alone. 23,000, more than twice from the same time period last year. We've taken over 6,000 illegal firearms off the streets. That number is an exponential increase. We've identified and located more than 4,700 child victims. More than 4,700 child victims have been found by this FBI. That is a 35% increase from the same time period last year. 1,500 child predators have been arrested. That's a 5% increase from the same time last year. 300 human traffickers have been arrested.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and then see you on the flip side of this. There's a lot going on today. Don't go anywhere.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
Here's the deal. We are winning in court. We're defeating the Democrats. We're defeating their law firms. All this powerful stuff's happening. I can tell you they are under criminal investigation by the DOJ. And the DOJ is not just looking at this to play games, okay? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to be gone for a few days here. I'll just leave it at that. So there's a lot going on, but we are literally maxed out in the bills and what's going on, because 80% of the funding goes into legal, because we are suing them and depositions and just constant warfare and filings and just, I mean, we are winning. I mean, I'm in a battle, but I'm running out of ammo. Go to theallishowstore.com and get 25% off on all the apparel, the widest selection of T-shirts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ball caps, you name it, the very best supplements that will change your life. 50% off, limited time. It's only going to go for 4 or 5 days more maximum. of the ultra-methylene blue, the very best. You've heard about methylene blue. Well, this is the best. We have the very best Shilajit, the very best IRC models, the very best cardiovascular detox, spike protein detox. Even if you didn't take the shots, everybody needs a detox at least once a year. I have so many friends and family that are chronically sick and stuff. Even though they didn't take the shots, they got it shedded on them, and they take the other two big blood cleaner things that were the highest certified put out by scientists. We just got with formulators and combined both formulas together, so it's like a horse pill. This is hands down the best. And just for general cardiovascular health, you need it. Ultimate Life Force. You can get it for 50% off. It's all there. Limited time. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Also, free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. If you spend over $75 in the store, you get $10 off at checkout immediately. Got that? So you spend $75, $75.01, suddenly your bill is $65. Got it? Just another giant discount up of everything. But you really want to get the ultramethylene blue. You want to get the bovine colostrum, ours is 2,000 milligram per scoop. It is incredible. Don't know about bovine colostrum. It is the superfood nutrient. Hottest thing for a decade now. Ultra hot, the hottest thing. We have the best. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. But this is only running, they're telling me, until next Monday, maybe Tuesday, because the bovine colostrum selling out. The capsules from Methylene Blue selling out. The Shilajit gummies are selling out. The IRC Moss capsules are selling out. And so a lot of these won't be available just in the next few days. So take advantage of it now. But I'm telling you, you think our information's powerful? You want to get the Ultra Methylene Blue. Consult your physician before you take it. It's powerful. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen what's happened. This is hands down the most incredible thing I've ever taken. I took other methylene blue before, didn't really feel it because it wasn't medical grade. This does it. This is it. Get yours now, TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try ultramethylene blue, exclusively available at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
A lot going on today that we're going to dive into. I want to make sure we pay our full attention to the FBI director who is right now speaking at his Senate hearing. He was just talking about Charlie Kirk and the assassination against Charlie Kirk and giving us a little bit of more details on that front. I believe he's still speaking right now. So let's dip back into that and we'll get your reaction on the flip side.
1,700 domestic terrorism investigations, a large chunk of which are nihilistic violent extremism, NVE. Those who engage in violent acts motivated by a deep hatred of society, whatever that justification they seem is. The FBI has seen a 300% increase in cases opened this year alone versus the same time last year. In the last couple of months, the FBI secured a guilty plea for a man in Tennessee who attacked an energy facility with drones and explosives. We secured the indictment of a violent Sinaloa cartel faction leader in Chicago on narco-terrorism charges. Our folks in Sacramento collaborated with domestic and international partners to secure a guilty plea for a leader of a transnational terrorist organization who solicited the murder of federal officials. But the Bureau's job is not done. I'm committed to this transparency. Mr. Chairman, you alluded to our work with Congress. To date, in the 7 months that I've been FBI director, we have produced 33,000 pages to the United States Congress, 33,000 pages. Just to put that in perspective, my predecessor in his 7-year term issued 13,000 pages to Congress. And his predecessor in his 4-year term issued 3,000 pages to Congress. I've issued 33,000 pages in 7 months, and we're going to keep going. I'm dedicated to restoring the trust that the public has and needs in the integrity at the FBI, and it's being done every day by the men and women of the FBI. Now, I know that there's a lot of talk about Epstein, and I'm here to testify that the original sin in the Epstein case was the way it was initially brought by Mr. Acosta back in 2006. The original case involved a very limited search warrant or set of search warrants and didn't take as much investigatory material it should have seized. If I were the FBI director then, it wouldn't have happened. The search warrants were limited to small time periods to include 2002 to 2005 and 1997 to 2001. Mr. Acosta allowed Epstein to enter in 2008 to a plea and non-prosecution agreement, which then the courts issued mandates and protective orders legally prohibiting anyone from ever seeing that material ever again without the permission of the court. The non-prosecution agreements also barred future prosecutions for those involved at that time of those individuals. Still, this administration at the direction of President Trump has done more to turn over all the credible information we are legally able to do so, and we will continue to work with Congress to achieve that end. Under the direction of the president, thank you for your support for our mission to working to jointly deliver transparency and congressional oversight to the United States. Lastly, I want to close with the president's initiative here in Washington, D.C., as an example of what we're doing around the country. And I think our next city is Memphis. 21,000 arrests in D.C. with our federal partners. A huge decrease in violent crime. 60% decrease in gun crimes in Washington, D.C. in the last month. 74% decrease in carjackings in Washington, D.C. in the last month. 53% decrease in homicides in Washington, D.C. in the last month. The drugs are disappearing. People are freely walking around the states, and we're restoring the nation's capital to its glory. That work is through the interagency process that the FBI is proud to be a part of and the initiative spearheaded by President Trump and the Attorney General. And perhaps most notably for investigations in Washington itself, it was the intelligence that the FBI gathered through our source network here in D.C. that helped us identify the suspects in the horrific murder of the D.C. intern Eric Tarpinian. We're proud to be a part of that investigation. We're proud to put the resources to bear of the FBI. And in closing, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee and Ranking Member Durbin, I'm honored to be the 9th director of the FBI. I'm not going anywhere. If you want to criticize my 16 years of service, please bring it on. Over to you.
Yeah. Well, that's the tone coming from the FBI director, Mr. Kash Patel. I guess it looks like he's going to be around for a while. And I know some of us suspected that he might not be, but folks, I think it's pretty obvious he's not going anywhere anytime soon. I want to talk about the crime angle from all of this, because I think that's really important. As you just heard him outlining the president's agenda when it comes to crime, now going after Memphis, now sending in federal authorities to reduce the crime there, which is very important, which is very, very important. And, I mean, he briefly spoke about Epstein, but again, there's a lot of blame to go about that. I don't think he really addressed it in the details that we wanted to hear so far, but he might get grilled in a couple of minutes. So we'll keep dipping in and out of that presser. But folks, I want to talk about a lot of things right now. I want to talk about New York City, for example. New York City is about to sadly fall to what looks like a socialist. They say socialist, I say communist. Zohran Mamdani is the lead candidate right now in the New York City mayoral race. He is leading by 21 points over the former New York governor, Andrew Cuomo. Things aren't looking good for New York right now. And it's actually really upsetting to see. It looks like the latest poll that just came out, Marist University, it looks like he is leading with 45% of the support. Andrew Cuomo only garnishing about 24%. And then Eric Adams, 9%. Yeah, that's really bad. Joining me now to discuss is former congressional candidate, Miss Liz Joy. She is a great friend of mine, and I'm very honored to have her on the program today. Liz, thank you for being here. You know, we just heard the FBI director talk about how on the federal level, they're cracking down on crime, which is great for so many cities. But unfortunately, for cities like New York, it's not looking good. It looks like Zohran Mamdani is going to be the winner in the New York City mayoral race. And I know people are very optimistic and I think they're going to turn it around, but I don't know if that's possible. So while other cities are going to become a lot safer, it looks like New York City is about to become very unsafe because he doesn't support law enforcement. And he's been very clear about his potential goals with just completely abandoning the NYPD and pulling away useful sources like their gang task force database. Your reaction to potentially New York City falling to a communist?
Well, you know, I think a very important angle here to consider is the fact that under, so this is a four-way race. Let me say it that way. This is a four-way race, right? That, of names that are in this race. We have Zohran Mamdani, who's the front runner. We have former, Governor Andrew Cuomo, Eric Adams, as you stated, and then we have Curtis Sliwa. And I think it's very important to point out here that New Yorkers have been subject to such horrible leadership with, those that are running for mayor, as far as I'm concerned, look, Eric Adams, I know that he's willing to work with the Trump administration, but let's point out the fact that illegal immigrants were running all over the streets, causing incredible violent crime throughout our subways. And it was absolutely out of control under his leadership. I'm glad he's willing to work with President Trump. He should be willing to work with President Trump. But New Yorkers suffered far too long under him as mayor. Before that, we had Governor Andrew Cuomo, and New Yorkers despise Andrew Cuomo so much, but with the way that he handled COVID, with the 15,000 plus nursing home deaths, with all of the sexual assault allegations against him by over 12 women, including a law enforcement individual, and all of his crackdowns and his thuggery when he was the governor of New York. They despise Andrew Cuomo so much that we now have a socialist, an avowed socialist who is an anti-Semite in the lead for this mayoral race, you know, for governor. Now, we have Curtis Sliwa, who has name recognition throughout the city of New York, who's been involved for years and years and years. He has always stood up for law and order. Sadly, though, in New York City, you know, at this rate, he only has roughly 9%. So it would be a miracle if Curtis won. I believe in miracles, you know, but I think it's important to point out that the leadership has been so awful that we now have Zohran, who is in the lead. The other thing that I think is very important to point out here, New York has no voter ID laws, Brianna. Mm-hmm. Zero. We have no voter ID laws. We remember, you and I talked about it previously in interviews before, where the New York City Council voted to allow illegal immigrants, remember that, to vote in their elections. There was a huge lawsuit. Thankfully, it was defeated. Mm-hmm. And one that illegals could not vote, in the New York City elections. That being said, we have people in office that are fighting for that. We still have no voter ID laws. We still, know for a fact that because of our green light laws here, that illegals are voting in the elections. And I think that it's going to be a disaster. For New York City, there's no question about it. I think people are going to be fleeing New York City, not to mention the fact that our economy in New York City is going to tank because businesses are going to flee when they see that New York City has a socialist mayor. We have crime that's already out of control. We will never forget the burning woman on the subways. And that's just one horrific example of what New Yorkers are subject to every single day under Kathy Hochul's leadership, who is now endorsed Mamdani, which is absolutely horrific that she would even endorse him, because she has been talking about law and order, and Mamdani has been very vocal about the fact that he does not support our police officers, and we're going to see police officers flee even more so in droves if Zohran gets into office.
Yeah, and I think it's a great point because Liz, we talk about it all the time. Sadly, the NYPD has really, doesn't really have the best pool of candidates, and it's not because of anything that they've done. It's because of the lawmakers, the Democrats, the liberals. They have completely chased away anyone who would make a great law enforcement officer, because of the low-paying jobs, the poor quality of life, the fact that they want these law enforcement officers to be targeted by suspects and potentially sued. They even wanted them at one point to carry insurance so that they could be sued. So it's not a desirable job. And that's the key point in all of this. And for Madani, that's a great thing, because there's a lot of quotes from his past life where he probably doesn't want us to talk about, where he was very open about defunding law enforcement, and he doesn't want them to be able to do their jobs. And he was a one of the many of the BLM terrorists who were going out there and trying to push law enforcement back. And I mean, literally, there's a video of him screaming in the courts. I believe it was a courtroom or it was an immigration facility area that he was at, where he was literally trying to go after police, and he was screaming like an animal, not like a civilized human being. And I think that's really the point here, is that this person is so unhinged. He also doesn't even have like a real job. He just continues to be an activist slash lawmaker, and he doesn't understand what it's like for average day Americans. But when he has a wedding, he wants armed security. But when it comes to the average American, he wants you to be vulnerable, and he doesn't want you to have any security. This is the video I was actually just referring to. Look at him with zero respect for this state trooper. I mean, it's absolutely egregious, but that's the kind of person he is. And then we talk about Kathy Hochul, who is the New York governor. Great time to cut into her a little bit, because she came out with the most outrageous endorsement of Mandani, openly saying that she doesn't agree with him on a lot and a lot of his statements, but then saying that, well, we just kind of need someone who's open-minded and optimistic and have an attitude, a can-do attitude. I mean, that is not what New York City needs right now. New York City does not need a communist who hates law enforcement. New York City needs someone who's going to embrace law enforcement and work with them to purge the crime within its city. Your reaction to just Kathy Hochul continuing to back this guy, even though he is not what New York City actually needs.
I completely agree with you, everything you said. And let me just say about that clip right there, with Zohan Mamdani shoving the state trooper. That actually happened here in Albany, New York, at the legislative building. And what Mamdani was yelling about and pushing about was because Tom Homan was here speaking at our Capitol, talking about the need for getting the violent illegal aliens that are here in New York committing horrific crimes, horrific rapes, assaults, killings, murders, drug dealers, sex trafficking. Tom Homan was here speaking about how he was going to be cracking down on that, getting these people out of our state and out of our country. Mamdani was protesting that. That is what he was doing right there in that clip, screaming, pushing a New York State trooper, because he didn't want Tom Homan to be taking these violent, vile people and deporting them from our country. New Yorkers, beware. That is who is the front runner right now for the New York mayor's race. So, look, actions speak louder than words. Mamdani right now is trying to pepper his words with a lot of charismatic talk. He's a charismatic speaker. He's able to have that sort of smooth way of talking, so people don't actually believe what his actions were and have been in the past, showing who he really is. As far as Kathy Hochul's concerned, I find it very interesting. Look, Kathy Hochul is a chameleon. She will do and say whatever she needs to garner votes. That's who Kathy Hochul is. And interestingly enough, Mamdani so far refuses to back Kathy Hochul. Interesting. Why? Why would Mamdani refuse to back Kathy Hochul? Because Hochul is even too right for Mamdani. She's too what he would consider moderate. And Kathy Hochul has stood up in the past for Israel. Mamdani despises Israel. Mamdani despises the Jewish people. Kathy Hochul has made trips to Israel. She has stood up for the Jewish people. And in New York here, we have the largest population of Jews outside of Israel. No. This is very concerning. So that's the reason so far Mamdani refuses to endorse Hochul, but Hochul has endorsed Mamdani. She wants his voters, the very far left socialists, the communists. But Mamdani won't back her because he knows if he does, then his anti-Semite voters are going to get mad at him.
Yeah.
It is dangerous that he's the front runner. It also shows you the level that New Yorkers are at, where they won't support Cuomo because of what Cuomo has done in the past. They suffered under Adams. It's sad, but they did. They really suffered under Adams and the violent crime. And it, in some ways, it's a little too late for Adams, I think. And he should have been out a lot sooner, but he wasn't. And, you know, talking about cracking down on crime, he really didn't decide to do that until probably, in the last year and a half, maybe. And before, you know, Trump got into office. And so this is where we are. And it's a result of the failed leadership. And now we have a charismatic speaker who cloaks everything he says with nice words, making it sound great, but his actions are as communist as it can get. And that's not, we haven't even talked about what he wants to do with rent control. Yeah. We haven't even talked about how he wants to take over the New York City grocery stores and make them state-run grocery stores. I am telling you, it will be an absolute disaster, and businesses are going to flee. The economy in New York, which has already suffered, is going to suffer even more, and our taxes are going to increase as people flee New York City. I'm in upstate New York. Our taxes are astronomical. All of our money goes to basically support a lot of New York City.
Yeah.
And as Mamdani comes into power, if in fact he does get elected, because we have no voter ID laws, we have no verification, and we know with green light laws, illegals are voting, then more of our money is going to be going to supporting these city-run grocery stores, the violent crime that's taking place, and the mass exodus of businesses who will no longer be able to stay because of the regulations that Mamdani is going to bring down onto those businesses.
Yeah, for New York, this is really going to be a bad thing for New York City specifically, because, again, it's just, when you think New York City's hit rock bottom, this is what you get next. And I know a lot of people just say, it's New York City, let them learn the hard way. But it's a city that's near and dear to my heart, since that's where my career started. That's where I'm from. I'm from Long Island, but I've spent a bulk of my career in New York City, and it bleeds to the suburbs. So it doesn't just stay in New York City, this issue. It's going to bleed into the local counties as well. So it is concerning. But Liz, I wanted to talk to you about the vigils going on all around New York, because obviously there's so many New Yorkers who, what they saw last week with Charlie Kirk being assassinated, they are infuriated, they are upset, but they're coming together to pray together, to remember Charlie Kirk's memory, and to also make sure that they aren't pushed back on when it comes to free speech and when it comes to speaking out and having open debate. We've seen footage of these vigils happening all across the city and all across counties. As a New Yorker, can you give us a little bit of insight on what's going on there?
You know, this was such a tragic event, as we all agree on, right? Charlie Kirk's work was just, he just penetrated every single, the majority of college campuses around the nation. And now I think I saw that there was roughly 33,000 new applications to Turning Point USA since Charlie's tragic death for new campus involvement around our country, which is absolutely beautiful. It's what a tragic event. And now, because of this tragic event, and as we continue to pray for Erica Kirk and Charlie and Erica's children and the entire Turning Point family, which we are doing, these turnouts around the country, here in New York, it has been astounding. They are all over New York State. In Glens Falls, New York, last night, which is here in upstate, there was over 300 people that gathered into the local park to be able to hold a prayer vigil. There's one tonight here in Schenectady, that is going to be held. There was one on Sunday night in Schenectady. There's one being held in Albany County, here in upstate New York. There's one being held in Oneida County. There's another one that is being held, more being held downstate. These are popping up everywhere, and hundreds of people are going and standing and praying. And isn't it beautiful that there's been no violence? There's been no, burning of buildings. There's been no looting. There's been no crime. These are where people truly are getting together, almost, I would say, in a revival, if you will, a revival of people coming together to pray, coming together to pray for our country, coming together to pray for the Kirk family, coming together to show their unity, and that they want peace, they want faith, they want freedom. These are supporters, of people that don't want this violent crime. They don't want these things to be happening in our country. And they appreciate free speech. They appreciate strong debate, which is what Charlie Kirk stood for. He just stood for debate. Mm-hmm. He stood for people's, to be able to stand up and give voice to ideas. And I am out of a tragic situation. A beautiful thing is happening, and I believe in many ways it's a revival of faith. It's people, young people, those that are middle aged, those, with young families, those that are elderly coming and saying, we want something different, and we want peace, and we want faith, and we want freedom. We want to stand up for family. We want to stand up for free speech. They don't want this kind of violence that the United States has been subject to, under the Biden administration and frankly, even under the Obama administration. And so my hope is that this will continue. Upstate New York, I think it's great that you are bringing this up today, because yeah. I think that the people, here, need to know, when they think of New York, a lot of times they just think of violence. They yeah. think of horrible leadership. And yes, that is true.
Yeah, it is true, Liz. And it's unfortunate. Happening. Listen, New York is worth saving.
Revival.
Yes, yeah. It is. And we're looking forward to that. Liz Joy, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for joining me today. Guys, we're going to dip in and out of the Kash Patel hearing going on right now. Do not go anywhere. Give Liz a follow. She is a great voice. Someone you're going to want to keep up with. Liz Joy, thank you as always. We'll be right back.
Here it is, Bovine Colostrum Plus. This is what I was looking for. This is the only thing that works on a monstrous stomach like mine. If it works for me, it will work for you. Order yours at the website below.
Secret shoreline mission to handpick nature's vitamin-packed sea moss before the globalists patent it. He's scooping it up like it's Cyber Monday in the supplement aisle. But suddenly, the 20-foot-tall sea moss mutant erupts from the tide pool like Godzilla, Alex dashes like he just saw a new Fauci vaccine. Will he make it or become the monster's meal? To be continued.
Welcome back to the program, folks. We are all eyes on Cash Patel right now, who is speaking to the Judiciary Committee over in the Senate right now. Let's dip back into this because he was just being asked about 764, about Epstein, and so much more. So listen in.
Allegation against my whistleblowers. They didn't get due process when their careers and lives were upended. I'm talking about people like Dina Perkins, Jeffrey Veltri, Timothy Dunnan were removed from their positions. Several whistleblowers were reported that they targeted FBI employees for their political beliefs by suspending and revoking security clearances. One FBI whistleblower said that Perkins, Veltri, Dunnan, and other FBI leaderships were, quote, responsible for what happened to me and my family. Ensuring that they no longer work at the FBI isn't retribution, it's responsible leadership. Another whistleblower that is a registered Democrat said they spoke out against abuses and security clearances processes committed by FBI senior leaders, particularly Veltri and Perkins. Then Perkins and Dunnan suspended their security clearances and put them in unpaid leave. I'm going to put some more examples like this in the record so I don't take up a lot of time for my colleagues, Senator Graham.
Thanks, Senator Graham. Welcome to the committee. The numbers sort of speak for themselves. You've done a lot in a small period of time. So all those folks out there making this happen, thank them for me.
Well, sir.
As to how to be an FBI agent, you've made a decision that local law enforcement folks, people who have served in law enforcement without a college degree, are able to apply now. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Makes sense to me. So experience out in the field might be as valuable as a college degree, believe it or not. Venezuela, we're blowing boats out of the water in the Caribbean because they're connected to international narco-terrorist groups. Is that correct?
Yes, that mission is being led by the Department of Defense, sir.
Okay. What legal authority do we have to do that?
Why is he asking that question?
Sir, I would defer the questions on legal authority to the Attorney General and the Department.
Fair enough.
FBI is US-based, folks.
Do you believe that Maduro runs a narco-terrorism state in Venezuela based on?
I believe based on the intelligence and prosecutions and investigations we are currently running, a large portion of the cocaine that exits out of South America, its origination point is in Venezuela. And using transshipment points through Haiti, they're using the navigable waterways in the Caribbean to the end state delivery, which is the United States of America. And we will hunt down every single one of those narco traffickers with the authorities.
There's some actual indictments of Maduro as an individual for being involved in that. Is that correct?
Senator, I think you're referring to the DEA indictment on that one.
Right. So I guess the point
is,
would it be fair to say
that
Venezuela is a good candidate to be labeled as a state sponsor of terrorism under U.S. law?
Senator, from my perch, we will provide the intelligence necessary for anyone who meets the threshold to be a state sponsor of terrorism,
well,
and this administration has expanded.
I think they are, so we'll be going down that road. China, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being nothing, 10 being great, how is China helping with the fentanyl problem here in the United States?
Under this administration, we have taken, as I highlighted the Cincinnati case, the precursors are the problem. The fentanyl is the end state that kills American citizens.
Well, the precursors are made in China, right?
They're made in China. And so for the first time in a decade, I had a call with my counterpart in the MPS, the Ministry of Public Services, to attack the precursor chemical companies and have those chemicals labeled.
Too early to rate the success?
We have indicted multiple businesses in China. We've also cut off the transshipment points of those precursors. They switched. Once we got on their track about their delivery routes to the Mexican drug cartel directly, they started going to India.
Not using his time wisely, instead asking questions that are not really under Cash Patel's. It just doesn't make any sense. What is he talking about? Venezuela, that's not the FBI, buddy.
Wasting everyone's time, of course, but we're not going to waste your time. A lot to talk about in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. We got to talk about free speech and the attack underway right now by the Trump administration. Don't go anywhere.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at theolivestore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Senator Lindsey Graham talked to Patel about, I don't know, Venezuela, China. Not really what Americans want to hear right now. I know a lot of Americans are kind of glued in, focused on both free speech now, because we just heard from Pam Bondi. It looks like they're going to be attacking free speech, or targeting is what she kind of alluded to. And we also want to hear more about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. But Lindsey Graham not really asking any of those tough questions thus far. So we'll be dipping in and out of that. I'm not going to waste your time if he plans on just killing the clock at this point. But there's a lot to dive into while we sit back and wait, like unity. Because so many individuals are sitting here on the left and they're saying, oh, we need to unify after Charlie Kirk's assassination. Now, I told you I was very, very thrilled with the fact that so many on the right are now not calling for us to unify. Why? Well, because too many violent acts are being carried out by the left, and they want you to unify, and they don't really want there to be accountability. And time again, they continue to sit there and push out this nonsense rhetoric about unifying, and nothing else changes. Only one side is shooting the bullets. Unity is not on anyone's mind right now. The Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, knows just that. And when he was filling in yesterday for Charlie Kirk on the Charlie Kirk Show, he discussed what his opinion is when it comes to unity.
There is no unity with people who scream at children over their parents' politics. There is no unity with someone who lies about what Charlie Kirk said in order to excuse his murder. There is no unity with someone who harasses an innocent family the day after the father of that family lost a dear friend. There is no unity with the people who celebrate Charlie Kirk's assassination. And there is no unity with the people who fund these articles, who pay the salaries of these terrorist sympathizers, who argue that Charlie Kirk, a loving husband and father, deserved a shot to the neck because he spoke words with which they disagree. Did you know that the George Soros Open Society Foundation and the Ford Foundation, the groups who funded that disgusting article justifying Charlie's death, do you know they benefit from generous tax treatment? They are literally subsidized by you and me, the American taxpayer. And how do they reward us? By setting fire to the house built by the American family over 250 years. I am desperate for our country to be united in condemnation of the actions and the ideas that killed my friend. I want it so badly that I will tell you a difficult truth. We can only have it with people who acknowledge that political violence is unacceptable, and when we work to dismantle the institutions that promote violence and terrorism in our own country.
Well, it's refreshing to finally hear someone call it out like that. Even President Trump isn't shying away from the fact that unifying isn't on the agenda at this point. They just assassinated Charlie Kirk because they didn't want to make their way to the mic and debate him. Free speech is under attack in this country, and it's, of course, being conducted by those on the left. These radical groups, these NGOs who are being funded by the billionaires that hate us, are the ones who are continuously going after us. Now, although they'll tell you that there's really no direct link to the person who's now under arrest for Charlie Kirk's assassination and these far-left groups, they're hoping you just look the other way in a couple of weeks, and then slowly the information will come out. But we're not looking away anytime soon. I was excited to see that Stephen Miller is really not backing down from any of this either. He has been the forefront in all of this and calling for these far-left groups to be targeted legally. Take a listen.
Yeah, so I believe what you're referring to is there are these nonprofit entities that organize, as the president mentioned, attacks on ICE officers, attacks on Border Patrol agents, organized doxing campaigns, which are a violation of federal law. They break off cement and they bring into riots. They have organized drop points for weapons, organized drop points for gas masks, organized drop points for all the materials necessary to launch a riot. Of course, you saw that during the Black Lives Matter riots as well, too. So there's this whole network of organizations. And I think the key point the president's been making is somebody is paying for all of this. This is not happening for free. And so under the president's direction, the attorney general is going to find out who is paying for it, and they will now be criminally liable for paying for violence.
Yeah, that's what's should have been done years ago. So now that we're finally having this conversation, I am thankful for just that. And it actually looks like if we dive back into Kash Patel, who is now testifying, it looks like Lindsey Graham actually might be talking about these real domestic terrorists. Let's take a look at
Washington, D.C. and plussing up states like South Carolina in double digit numbers. Okay. And I'll get back with my team on this one.
Thank you for your service.
Senator Whitehouse.
Boy, is my timing good.
It is very good.
Director Patel, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
When you were here for your confirmation, we talked about your so-called enemies list. It appears to me that there have been adverse actions of various kinds taken against about 20 of the 60 people on your enemies list. You've been in office for 7 months. At that rate, you've got 14 months until you've hit all 60. Can you explain that?
Again, that is an entirely inaccurate presupposition. I do not have an enemies list. You can continue to characterize it as you wish. The only actions we take, generally speaking, for personnel at the FBI are ones based on merit and qualification and your ability to uphold your constitutional duty. You fall short, you don't work there anymore.
Well, there was a list. You don't like it to be called an enemies list, and it had about 60 names, and about 20 have had an adverse action. So those are, I think, pretty clear facts. Let me move on to your grand jury testimony, which we also talked about when you were here. I think you indicated that you understood that a witness in the grand jury is free to discuss afterwards whatever they told the grand jury. And you then went on to suggest, saying, I can't go into court orders granted by the D.C. District Chief Judge, and you want me to violate a court order. In those remarks, you fairly plainly suggested that there was a court order of some kind that somehow restricted or limited your ability to discuss your own testimony to that grand jury. Since then, that chief judge that you mentioned, Judge Boasberg, has written, and I'm quoting him here, Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 6E allows witnesses like Patel to divulge the contents of their testimony, meaning that nothing was preventing him from doing so before the committee. Can we confirm here today that there is no court order of any kind that limits your ability as a witness before the grand jury to discuss your own testimony to that grand jury?
We can confirm that pursuant to my action that grand jury testimony has been released. the transcript.
In what forum was it released, may I ask?
Publicly.
Okay. We'll check on that. The FBI does background investigations. In the case of a U.S. attorney, Jeanine Pirro, it has come to light that in a civil proceeding, that Fox News executives, prior to her confirmation, called her, I'm quoting here, a reckless maniac who makes, quote, insane comments and said, I don't trust her to be responsible, and noted her penchant for what they called random conspiracy theories on weird internet sites. My question to you is, did that turn up in her background investigation?
For any background investigation, Senator, we do not discuss those publicly. And for every background investigation, when there's an adjudication, it is not made by me. It is made by the career professionals who run the inspection division and background check system.
Do you know if that information was found? You see, we're an oversight body here, and there are really three possibilities here. One is that the FBI background investigation didn't find that stuff. That's worth noting, because these investigations, full field background investigations, are supposed to find that stuff. That's possibility one. Possibility two is that the FBI did in fact find that information and then did not report it to the administration or to the committee. And the third is that you found it, you reported it to the administration, and they went ahead with her nomination knowing that she had been described as a reckless maniac who made insane comments, who wasn't trusted by colleagues to be responsible, and who had a penchant for random conspiracy theories on weird internet sites. Are you saying that this committee does not have any authority or reason to look into which of those things is true?
This committee can look into anything it wishes. I'm telling you that the background investigations that are done by the HRD division are done by career individuals. They do not report the details of those to me. They adjudicate those independently and individually. That's how it's always been done.
What happened to during the pause of FBI background investigations that was alleged in the complaint against you and the FBI by the FBI agents who were terminated? On February 12th, Emil Bovey directed the FBI, quote, to pause any FBI background investigations of Trump nominees until Patel was confirmed, which happened on February 20th, is the general description of what they alleged.
All right, let's take a moment kind of pull out of this one for a second, because I think White House is just full of it. I don't understand why they continuously go out there and waste the time that they have with the director. Obviously, Patel doesn't know any of the information that he is trying to grill him on, and obviously he's trying to get to a particular point, and the director's not going to get there, but we're going to get there. Let's talk about free speech for a second, because I know we thought when we voted for President Trump, if you voted for President Trump, that free speech was going to be free. The First Amendment was absolute, and they weren't going to be the ones trampling on it. Now, yesterday, we talked about how ATF is allegedly going to be going after Ladder with Crowder, Steven Crowder, for a story that they broke last week, ATF telling his attorneys that they plan on issuing a subpoena to find out who their source is behind a story that they broke. Now, I told you yesterday that Pam Bondi actually laid out the work to make sure that was going to be possible back in April of this year. And all of those things, all those subpoenas, have to go through the DOJ. So they still haven't received the subpoena, but they did call his attorneys and told him just that, that they were planning on subpoenaing his team. But it's not just that. Pam Bondi doesn't like free speech when it's speech that she doesn't like. It's pretty disturbing, but she's sitting here and trying to set the record straight after she was caught on a podcast with Stephen Miller's wife, saying that they have plans on targeting free speech. Take a listen.
There's free speech and then there's hate speech. And there is no place, especially now, especially after what happened to Charlie, in our society.
Do you see more law enforcement going after these groups who are using hate speech and putting cuffs on people so we show them that some action is better than no action?
We will absolutely target you, go after you, if you are targeting anyone with hate speech, anything. And that's across the aisle.
Yeah, it's not really across the aisle. Obviously, Pam Bondi getting lit up for those comments on social media. And now she's trying to backtrack, putting out a tweet today saying that hate speech isn't what she was trying to make it sound like. It actually, what she was alluding to only is about violence. The threat of violence is what her clarification on X says. She also kicks it up a notch and says, you cannot call for someone's murder. You cannot swat a member of Congress. You cannot dox a conservative family and think it will be brushed off as free speech. But the reality is this. Earlier this year, I was the only reporter who was consistently covering conservative influencers who were being swatted. Now, because I was the only one who was investigating all of this, I sat back and watched as the federal government wasn't doing anything about it. So I reached out to our federal resources and got the FBI to launch an investigation into all of this. Now, of course, they're not going to say, oh, no, we had our eye on it the whole time, and that's the reason why we investigated it. But I was continuously reaching out to people and saying, at what point is enough enough? In fact, if you remember, I came on this network, and I was speaking to Owen Schroyer about my report, and the very next day, he was swatted. Chase Geiser was the first one who was swatted. And there's been several employees here who have been attacked by this group that we still haven't seen any arrests on. Publicly, of course. They haven't told us anything. Well, what happens when you're the only reporter who's covering it? Well, then they start targeting you. They went after my family. They couldn't find out where I lived. And so that they just started sending me death threats through emails. Well, the FBI asked me to come down to one of their field offices and talk to me, asked me for whatever evidence I had, and we went through it all, and I had a lot. Now, if you're wondering what the results of that were, well, if you look at Pam Bondi's tweet, she says that she targets people who put out threats, and then she specifically says, you cannot swat a member of Congress. Well, I was receiving death threats. My friends were being swatted. And we still haven't heard of any charges. In fact, the FBI told me that there wasn't enough to criminally charge anyone on my case. So what are we doing here? Is free speech just an idea? Not. What is hate speech? Ask her to define what hate speech is next time. Grill her on that. Because hate speech isn't just speech that you actually hate. You are allowed to say what you want to say. Now, again, if you're talking about specific threats, then yes, the federal government should intervene. You can't swat Americans. But why is she specifically only saying members of Congress? Are they a protected class while the rest of us continue to get attacked day in and day out? The administration loves playing hardball. They love pretending like they're going to go out there and do something. I remember when this was all underway. It wasn't just us also. There was also these same individuals who were going after the FBI director as well. And we haven't really heard much on that front. So why is she using Charlie Kirk's assassination to go after speech? Is that something that Charlie Kirk would have wanted? Well, you and I both know that's not the case. And thankfully, we don't even have to sit here and guess. Because Charlie Kirk left a bunch of tweets with his opinions, videos, and we could just turn back the time and take a listen. Take a listen on how he grilled the United Kingdom about what they're doing when it comes to censoring free speech.
Here in this country, you guys invented the idea of free speech. You brought it to the world. You guys do not have free speech in this country anymore. 30 people a day are arrested in the UK for inflammatory social media posts.
But when I look at Britain today, I see a country where the ruling elites are in a race to abandon the values that made them so great in the first place. This country just had its 14th uninterrupted year of so-called conservative rule. And what did they conserve exactly? Well, they didn't conserve the ancient British rights to freedom of speech.
So we know how he feels about free speech. Hate speech does not exist legally in America. There's ugly speech, there's gross speech, there's evil speech, and all of it's protected by the First Amendment. Keep America free. You hear that, Pam Bondi? No, she's not listening. She's not listening. And it's just, it's so egregious because again, folks, we were optimistic, but it looks like the Attorney General, who is picking the easiest battles right now, is going to infringe on the First Amendment. And again, it's not just free speech, it's free press. She wants to know who your sources are, not because you're sharing classified information, because again, Steven Crowder's team did not share classified information. They shared an email that described the motive regarding Charlie Kirk's assassination, the engraved bullets. That's something that local officials and the FBI mistakenly left out during their press conference. But they knew there was a left-wing motive behind all of this. Why didn't they tell you? Well, Pam Bondi doesn't want you to know why. She doesn't want leakers. She doesn't want other individuals to hold them accountable within their agencies. And you don't get it both ways. We loved it when we had leakers during the Biden regime because we were able to get an insight look into all of this. You know, my biggest story last year that I broke was with Tulsi Gabbard being added to a terror watch list, a TSA terror watch list. I broke that story. You know why? Because of leakers who knew what was happening was un-American and they refused to sit back and watch. Now, while other networks refused to come out and report on that, I was the first one alongside Wendy Mahoney who reported this. Folks, you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Because I'm not going to sit here and watch as we redefined hate speech for every administration that steps into the White House. We're not going to sit back and watch any of this. And now Pam Bondi's not only just threatening your speech, she's also threatening businesses that refuse to do business just because they don't want to. Take a listen.
I think yesterday or today, Sean, a school board member right here in Virginia had to resign because she said horrible things about Charlie Kirk and that he deserved to die. That's horrific. It's free speech, but you shouldn't be employed anywhere if you're going to say that. And employers, you have an obligation to get rid of people. You need to look at people who are saying horrible things, and they shouldn't be working with you. Businesses cannot discriminate. If you want to go in and print posters with Charlie's pictures on them for a vigil, you have to let them do that. We can prosecute you for that. I have Harney Dillon right now in our civil rights unit looking at that immediately, that Office Depot had done that. We're looking at that. But Sean, you know, they thought they could silence Charlie. All of this chatter, all of this hate, they couldn't silence Charlie. What they've done is they have created an army of people. I think millions of young people are coming out of the woodwork now. And I think we're going to see a lot of young women as well being very vocal in their conservative values. And Charlie was deeply, deeply religious. We all knew that. And he wore his faith on his sleeve. And I think you're going to be seeing a lot more young people not be afraid to show their religion and to come out publicly. And I think Erica Kirk has done a great job encouraging young people to do just that in Charlie's memory. They thought they silenced him and it was the opposite.
Hey, businesses have a right to decline customers if they want to or not. Not the federal government looking to do oversight on that front. We've got a lot underway. Don't go anywhere. Mark Mitchell joining us after the break.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
Here's the deal. We are winning in court. We're defeating the Democrats. We're defeating their law firms. All this powerful stuff's happening. I can tell you they are under criminal investigation by the DOJ. And the DOJ is not just looking at this to play games, okay? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to be gone for a few days here. I'll just leave it at that. So there's a lot going on. but we are literally maxed out in the bills and what's going on because 80% of the funding goes into legal because we are suing them and depositions and just constant warfare and filings and just, I mean, we are winning. I mean, I'm in a battle, but I'm running out of ammo. Go to theyellowshowstore.com and get 25% off on all the apparel, the widest selection of t-shirts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ball caps, you name it, the very best supplements that will change your life. 50% off, limited time. It's only going to go for 4 or 5 days more maximum of the ultramethylene blue, the very best. You've heard about methylene blue. Well, this is the best. We have the very best Shilajit, the very best Irish sea moss, the very best cardiovascular detox, spike protein detox. Even if you didn't take the shots, everybody needs a detox at least once a year. I have so many friends and family that are chronically sick and stuff. Even though they didn't take the shots, they got it shedded on them, and they take the other two big blood cleaner things that were the highest certified put out by scientists. We just got with formulators and combined both formulas together, so it's like a horse pill. This is hands down the best. And just for general cardiovascular health, you need it. Ultimate Life Force. You can get it for 50% off. It's all there, limited time, thealexjonesstore.com. Also, free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. If you spend over $75 in the store, you get $10 off at checkout immediately. Got that? So you spend $75, $75.01, suddenly your bill is $65. Got it? Just another giant discount off of everything. But you really want to get the ultramethylene blue. You want to get the bovine colostrum. Ours is 2,000 milligram per scoop. It is incredible. Don't know about bovine colostrum. It is the superfood nutrient. Hottest thing for a decade now. Ultra hot. The hottest thing. We have the best. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. But this is only running, they're telling me, until next Monday, maybe Tuesday, because the bovine colostrum is selling out. The capsules from ethylene blue is selling out. The Shilajit gummies are selling out. The IRC Moss capsules are selling out. And so a lot of these won't be available just in the next few days. So take advantage of it now. But I'm telling you, you think our information is powerful? You want to get the ultramethylene blue. Consult your physician before you take it. It's powerful. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen what's happened. This is hands down the most incredible thing I've ever taken. I took other methylene blue before. I didn't really feel it because it wasn't medical grade. This does it. This is it. Get yours now. TheYellowstoneStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Long ago, far in the past, lived a man on the open vast. His sword at his side held tight with a fist. Through the rains and through the mist, he carried on only to survive. By the power of methyl drive, no man nor beast stood a chance through the battles.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, everyone. Oh, man, there's a lot going on in the news world today. I'm excited that you're here with us, of course. We're watching as Director Kash Patel is being grilled right now in the Senate. So we're going to be dipping in and out of that throughout the show. But when it comes to political violence throughout this country, Americans are actually uniting on one front that I think is really important that we call out. Let's talk about this new Rasmussen Reports poll, because it just dropped moments ago and you're getting it here first. But Rasmussen Reports has a very interesting poll. 86% of Americans think that it's time that we look and we start discussing political violence in our country, but also the rhetoric that's spewed throughout our media that demonizes
demonizes those across the aisle. And so I think it's really important for us to highlight. Joining us now is Mr. Mark Mitchell. He is the head pollster over at Rasmussen Reports. And he's going to break down this poll because there's a lot of numbers to crunch down. But this is actually, Mark, one of, I think, the most important polls that I've seen in a very long time. Americans seem to agree that we need to get a grip on political violence and the rhetoric that's being spewed. And it mainly comes from the left. So what are you learning here?
I think the biggest takeaway, and there's a lot of things changing right now. We've talked about this with Alex, is that things get worse and the pot that the frog is in gets hotter and hotter to a point where people wake up and say, no, I'm not taking this anymore. And we didn't know if that was going to be because of rising youth unemployment due to an economic hard landing, if it was going to be due to leftist oppression, or if it was going to be due to anger on the right or just anger in general. And right now we're seeing a lot of anger. And so one of the things is that on social media that you'll see is all of these insane radical leftists who have been poisoned by essentially a death cult, celebrating Charlie Kirk in a very disgusting manner, telling their kids, having their kids cheer on TikTok, talking about it on Reddit, trying to justify it from a religious standpoint. It's really disgusting. But that poll is, I think, the most important thing because it shows that actually, no, Democrats aren't on board necessarily with this. And we're going to explore it more. But here's the exact quote. It was actually a Donald Trump quote. Do you agree or disagree with this statement? It's long past time for all Americans and the media to confront the fact that violence and murder are the tragic consequence of demonizing those with whom you disagree with day after day, year after year, in the most hateful and despicable way possible. And like you said, 86% agree, 58% strongly, only 3% strongly disagree with that statement. But here's the thing. It was a vast majority of Democrats as well. And in my opinion, that's actually pretty encouraging. And then we have a bunch of other stuff here, which is more to blame for incidents like the recent shooting in Utah, heated political rhetoric, availability of firearms, or mental illness. So for all those gun grabbers like Elizabeth Warren and Chris Murphy in Connecticut, no, America thinks that it's heated political rhetoric. They see you. They know what's going on. Heated political rhetoric was 46%. Only 28% say the availability of firearms, and only 19% say mental illness, although obviously there was an aspect of mental illness here. Even among Democrats, access to firearms is not a very big signal, and we'll have these crosstabs out tomorrow morning for everybody who wants to see. Recently, a gunman in Utah shot and killed conservative activist Charlie Kirk. How likely is it that there will be more political violence in the next few months? This is a really high number. 48% very likely, 37% somewhat, so that's 85%. We usually don't see numbers over 70. So this is like all Americans agree, including Democrats, there's going to be more political violence. In fact, the Democrats are more concerned about political violence and are more likely to think that there's political violence when you look at the very response. How concerned are you about political violence in America? 69% very concerned, 21% somewhat. That's a sum total of 90%. I can count on one hand the number of polls that have gotten to 90%. And again, Democrats are more very concerned than Republicans even, with a number in the 60s. And so hopefully this helps everything reorder. And I can tell you the other really big change. I have Irina Zaruska questions I want to get into too, because I think those show something very important. But the big one is that we follow Right Direction polling. We poll on it every day, and we've had essentially a record-breaking streak. We've never before seen this in the history of all our polling, that since Donald Trump got inaugurated this second time, Right Direction polling has been over 40%. In fact, it's been close to 50% for most of it. Now, it's been fading the last couple of weeks, but only in the last 3 days. Right Direction polling has plunged from 45% to 40%. Donald Trump's approval rating has not changed. That's job approval rating. It's still where it is. Actually went up a point to -2. But Americans, especially Republicans and independents, are looking around and saying, what is going on with this country? It drove an 8-point drop in Republican Right Direction. I think it was a 6-point drop in independents. Now, the good news is that Democrat Right Direction has not gone up. But this is a fundamental change. People are looking around and trying to figure out what's going on.
Mark, we heard from local officials in Utah that there are foreign adversaries who are looking to kind of poke at those on the right to potentially engage in political violence. They want potentially there to be a civil war in this country, and that would be something that countries like China and Iran would encourage. And that was one of their warnings on that front. Does any of your polling indicate that we actually might be on the horizon of a civil war?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I sat in this chair and told Alex to his face that 43% of Americans, the highest number ever, think that it's likely that a civil war will happen in the next few years. But there were a whole lot of other signs that rising political violence was a major problem. After Trump's second assassination attempt, over 65% of Americans said, well, we're going to have another one in the next few months. And also a plurality there blamed political rhetoric and not, you know, mental illness. But then also coming up to the November 2024 election, we asked people how likely is it that there will be a violent reaction, whether Kamala Harris wins or whether Donald Trump wins. And a majority of both Republicans and Democrats thought it would be a violent reaction if either of their opponents won. Then you have all kinds of wacky stuff, like the fact that 28% of Americans and even more Democrats, I forget the number, I think it was close to 40%, said that it was understandable that because of the high price of healthcare that Luigi Mangione assassinated the CEO of United Healthcare. There's other polling that said almost 30% of Democrats thought it would have been better if the Butler assassination had not missed. And so it's no surprise. I mean, this has been coming for a long way. Now, we've also been spending a lot of time. Like, here's the problem. It's really hard to poll young people, and it's really hard to poll little niches of young people who might be on different echo chambers. It's really easy to take MSNBC as a punching bag because a lot of older boomers watch MSNBC. Now, we've been talking about how that has been poisoning people, how overwhelmingly people who watch MSNBC have a very different issue set than Fox News. The numbers were almost three quarters of MSNBC viewers, including roughly half of them thought threats to democracy was the biggest issue. Another quarter thought it was abortion for the 2024 election, threats to democracy. But for Fox News viewers, 80% of them said it was rising prices or the border. Now, if you take a look at those, like two of those are fake gaslighting, PSYOP, you know, fake issues. And that's what MSNBC viewers thought was the number one problem. Now, I can guarantee you that this kid, this Tyler Robinson, was not sitting at home watching MSNBC. Well, where was he being radicalized? And this is a very important question that, unfortunately, I don't think anybody in the government understands. It absolutely blows my mind to think back over the last 10 years that we have federal agents embedded in the January 6th riot. We had federal agents that were trying to entrap people to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer. We probably have federal agents crawling all over every single militia organization. We have the federal government spying on conservative reporters and breathing down the necks of people who are pastors, who are, you know, out there protesting, the pro-life, you know, for the pro-life movement. But do we have anybody involved, like, caring at all about how young people are being radicalized into this trans situation, into this, you know, atheistic death cult, into this this whole anti-fascist thing? It's not just a few Looney Tunes that come out there in masks in Oregon. A large number of our young people are being absolutely inundated with this, and it's happening in places like Reddit. So here's how it goes. It's like you raise your kid right. He becomes a teenager. He's in high school with all these other kids. And what do they want to do? They want to play like Minecraft and Fortnite, and they want to trade Pokemon cards, and they go on the internet and they spend time on the internet, and they wind up in places like Reddit. And what they're going to be inundated with is first, Reddit's one of the like top 10 websites in the US, and nobody really looks at it at all. They're going to be inundated with the most degenerate, not safe for work stuff. It's absolutely, like, literally every hedonistic kink that you can think of has a subreddit. And there's very little effort taken in order to prevent young people from seeing that. And then they also migrate into political subreddits and other community subreddits where political messages and ideologies are enforced with an iron fist by anonymous moderators who, quite frankly, could be anybody. And there it has been alleged, for instance, that Ghislaine Maxwell, yes, that's right, Jeffrey Epstein's accomplice, that Ghislaine Maxwell was one of the moderators of the second biggest political subreddit on that entire website, World News. And so why is that? Why do we not know who these people are? You can't go on there and literally have common sense scientific takes about transsexualism without getting booted from even subs like about your favorite comic book or something like that. Then this site is just crawling with Zoomers and millennials who know nothing. Like, these people don't know what Charlie Kirk said. but there has been this like mental conditioning in order to paint him as a hateful, anti-Christian, basically bigot who is spewing intolerance.
Yeah.
And that's what all these people think. And we haven't even begun to unpack this. And I can guarantee you that like we, with all of the capabilities we have, like remember Edward Snowden?
Yeah.
Telling us the NSA recorded everything. They have X key score. All it takes is the will and the intent. What about all these online interactions? He wasn't just talking to a 30-person community, a group chat in Discord. Mm-hmm. Discord's another place where it's like, okay, you get on Reddit, some of these communities, and there's some really weird ones. Like ask transgender. So let's say I'm a confused 13-year-old and my parents aren't telling me what I want to hear. So I go on the subreddit Ask Transgender, which has roughly 500,000 subscribers. And there are anonymous people that will respond to my questions about my confusion. What are they going to do? They're going to teach you how to wear chest binders. They're going to tell you where to go to if you want to get the government to fund your HRT. They're going to help you find places to live when you run away with your parents. These are all probably mentally deranged 20, 30, 40-year-olders and maybe even Intel assets or bots. It's really sick. It needs to be unpacked. And, like nobody really understands where these like on ramps to radicalization are. Reddit's a big one. I think gaming, Discord communities is another big one. Mm-hmm. Blue Sky probably has some pretty horrifying direct messages. And again, I believe in the First Amendment, but when these people are radicalizing folks, like it's out in the open. Look at the stuff that Hassan Piker and Destiny have been saying, like Destiny on Piers Morgan. They're calling for more murder and Twitch. You know how many like 18 to 29-year-olds are on Twitch watching their favorite video game streamers, and you have a very prominent, one of the most followed accounts on Twitch, Hassan Piker. Amazon is not shutting him down, and he's essentially, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it looks like he's essentially calling for a genocide of people on the right. Mm-hmm. So it's like the left is very good at enforcing its ideology, at indoctrinating people, at pushing words to their absolute breaking point and limit. And now the right has control of the federal government ostensibly. And yet here we are like flat footed looking at, I'm sorry. I wasn't inspired by the way that the FBI came out in this case. Like I just absolutely mm-hmm. wasn't. Like, yeah. I think Michael Savage raised a lot of really good questions. So the right is justified in thinking now more than ever that the country is headed in the right direction.
Yeah, and that's what the FBI director should be getting grilled on right now in the Senate. We hear a lot of people just kind of killing their time and wasting their time, but, you know, they're right in front of the FBI director. These are the kind of questions that need to be asked. And I also think it's really important when you're talking about these groups, there's a very small niche of independent journalists who will go after these groups and report on them. Unfortunately, though, their lives are at risk. They are being targeted actively. If you go after these dark, dark groups, they will launch an attack against you. And we just heard Pam Bondi say that if you swat a member of Congress, that, yes, that's a crime and they're going to target you. But what about the average citizen? What about independent journalists who aren't members of Congress? Because they don't seem to be helping them. Instead, they leave them out to dry and defend for themselves. And so I think that's an important front on that. But I want to turn to another poll that you guys just recently released in regards to the death penalty. And you talked about it, the death penalty in the case of that Ukrainian refugee who was fatally stabbed to death on that train. It's important to note that North Carolina does have the death penalty. It is for those charged with first degree murder. Now, they haven't used it since 2006. But it is something that can be used. Also, it's important to note that the suspect in this case is someone who does have a health issue, a mental health issue, and he is someone with a history of schizophrenia. But your poll highlights this. 60% of the people that you guys have polled, voters, are in favor of the death penalty being implemented in this case. Break down the numbers for us, Mark.
Yeah, and listen, I sympathize for people who have been diagnosed with schizophrenia, mm-hmm. but we also have to acknowledge that almost one in three Americans say that they've been diagnosed with a mental condition. And the bookends, like the absolute highest number, are 18 to 39-year-old liberals who say 43% of them say they have a mental condition. And so also I understand having compassion for people that can't control themselves or unable to comprehend, you know, their judicial system, right? And yet also, those things aren't necessarily in the Constitution. You're supposed to be given a fair trial. And we have to acknowledge that there are perverse incentives in our system, the way it's been built up over the last 30, 40 years to focus on equity and not necessarily swift justice. And I think that that is at play here because a lot of people make money when he gets recycled into these mental health facilities in order to have evaluations. Mm-hmm. He's sitting here having three square government meals a day. They're going to spend like $80,000 to just evaluate this guy. He's sitting around a room talking about his feelings when a young, beautiful woman with a bright future was brutally slain. Now, America was waking up because of this case, and this happened before Charlie Kirk. And I think we're going to see even more movement, and we're putting new questions in the field today. But we've polled over the course of our history about capital punishment, the death penalty. And this is a very important question, a very important benchmark, because the way people answer this tells you a lot about their compassion, their thought process about justice, the way, you know, empathy, very deeply held human fundamentals. And in 2019, the last time we asked, death penalty was 49-4 and 36 against. So it was plus 13. Well, we put a snap poll into the field right after that photo of Irina Zarutska came out. And now this is federal charges have been filed against DeCarlos Brown that could result in the death penalty. If DeCarlos Brown is convicted of killing Irina Zarutska, should he get the death penalty? It's 60% yes now. 60, not 49, 60. And only 20% say no. So the death penalty in just a few years went from plus 13 to plus 40, a 27-point shift. That's a major, major change in the way Americans consider justice. And I would assume, had we done the questions, that this all changed very, very, very rapidly. Because what is inescapable here is that there is a lot of power in imagery. And the image of her on that train is going to stick with America. That's my assessment. And I think that image of Charlie Kirk as well is not going anywhere. Because among people who say they saw the photo, and over 60% of America have seen those photos that you're putting up, that's pretty incredible. Because they weren't necessarily emblazoning that all over MSNBC. But of the people who saw that photo, 73% went execution, only 14 against. And the problem we face here is that Americans are crying for order and justice. That's one of the reasons Trump got elected. And we all know what's going to happen is a complete debacle. This guy's going to have 20 years of appeal. He's going to be living at basically Club Fed or wherever, right? I don't think we're going to, and we have Luigi Mangione, and then we're going to have this Tyler Robinson kid. And people say, oh, he's not cooperating, he's on suicide watch. The right, I don't think, wants to see this guy, you know, suicided, Epstein'd in his cell. I think they want to see a public execution. And we will pull on that as well. But it's going to be years. And so I think that things are just going to get more heated. The Democrats are getting their evidence now that the right is fascist. They don't like these firings. And then the right now, it seems like it has finally had a permission to uncork its political correctness and get aggressive about not tolerating this stuff, which should not have been tolerated for the last 10 or 20 years.
Yeah, it shouldn't happen. And, you know, we're hearing from the vice president who gave an incredible segment. He was filling in for Charlie Kirk yesterday. And he specifically says, we're not going to, you know, be preaching about unity right now because there's so much that's going on the left that we've not been able to call out. And they haven't fixed any of these issues. I mean, you could sit there and say all you want, but the reality of it is they're not, the left isn't ready to unify with us. They have declared war on those on the right, and we can't just sit here and, you know, have our hands tied behind our backs. And the reality of it is now's the time to fight back. Now is the time to push back. You know, the only way we fix these issues is for folks to see these individuals to have their trial, have their day in court, and then to see what happens after you are convicted of these heinous acts, which is the death penalty. We don't need to wait two decades to see it carried through. We could give you a speedy trial. We could have your appeal. But we're not going to sit here and wait 20 years. And I think that needs to happen because it's absurd that we wait this long. But, Mark, I want to get to a new poll before we wrap up because there's another one that's also really important. It's in the news right now. Everyone's sitting back and watching as President Trump has declared war against these narco terrorists. And just yesterday, he did authorize a strike on another one of these vessels, these boats that allegedly was carrying narcotics, and it was making its way from Venezuela into our country. Now, you just did another poll, and 62% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Donald Trump's use of the military earlier this month against a drug smuggling boat from Venezuela. That includes 42% who strongly agree with the strike
and 30% who disapprove, including 15% who strongly disapprove. So break down these numbers, because the president is going out there and he has declared war against any of these narco groups, these cartel members, and it looks like he's making good on that promise.
Yeah, and this seems like a different topic, but it's not. I think it's an extension. And I think just people are fed up. And just a quick point about the previous discussion. Greg Gutfeld's rant against Jessica Tarloff, I think, was very, very relevant. People are done with hearing unity, because Joe Biden ran on unity. And at the end of his term, a majority of Americans, 70%, gave him a fair or poor rating, 52% poor, in his job at uniting the country. And so they've heard unity touted in front of them, and what was thrown back in their face? Well, a winner of death. And so people are fed up. And this is another example. And so people will be clucking on the news and clutching their pearls about, and Rand Paul, about how these people didn't read To Kill a Mockingbird and didn't get proper... people don't care. 62%, 42% strongly. This is in line with mass deportations. This is in line with shipping violent criminals back to other countries. How is this controversial? It's just not. And even better, among Republicans, it's almost all of them, like 86%, 68% strongly approve. And independents, 65% to only 25%. So independents are more than 3-1. Like, yes, blow up these people who are poisoning our country. And Democrats are only tepidly against. So Trump should just keep doing this. And I think it's the same thing. We had a very similar number with sending the National Guard into cities. So yes, storm Memphis.
Yeah.
Storm New Orleans. Storm Governor Pritzker's, you know, seat of power. And what are they going to do after this? What are they going to do? Are they really going to increase the violent rhetoric? Enough people are waking up, because again, people are not happy with their opponents being, you know, all of this very hostile, violent rhetoric. I think people are waking up. And unfortunately, there's people on TikTok. Like, why did we not ban that? People are being, that's the problem, is that on the right, you have a very unified voter base. The problem with the right is you don't have a unified government. The establishment Republicans are not MAGA. On the left, you have a unified government. All of the Democrat leadership ubiquitously believes the same thing. But their voters are fractured right now, and we don't know how much. But again, what you're showing there, that is not the majority of Democrats. That's insane people that control the narrative or are offshoots of the narrative. Very highly probable that it's driven by foreign influence, it's driven by a lot of money, it's driven by bots and all of these levers of power that our government has not done the work to understand. Who are embedded super moderators at Reddit, and why am I the only one asking that question? Nobody's cared for 10 years as that website went from a very libertarian place that had the largest pro-Trump community anywhere on the internet, yeah, to now essentially a cesspool of Trantifa.
Yeah, yeah, and it's something that's worth looking into, because this is not going to stop anytime soon. Mark Mitchell, as always, you guys are doing great work over at Rasmussen Reports, and we appreciate your time. Thank you for breaking down the numbers, as you always do. Give him a follow on X, Honest Pollster. He means that, too. Mark is one of the he's the only one who's broken down these numbers for us, and he's been consistently right throughout all of these elections, so give him a follow. Mark Mitchell, thank you, as always. A lot underway right now. Director Patel still testifying. We're going to keep dipping in and out of that. Don't go anywhere. We've got a lot to discuss.
Go to thealexjonesstore.com and experience these products like Ultramethylene Blue. It will change your life. It will be so empowering for you, and then you'll be hooked and keep buying it so we can stay on the air and expand, which is my plan in the face of all these globalist attacks. So I'm announcing this on Tuesday, September 9th. We're only running this till next Tuesday. It is a giant, multifaceted sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best medical-grade quality out there. The rave reviews are insane. Such good energy, such clarity, such focus. No letdown. 50% off. Same thing for the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Detox Super Empowering System for your cardiovascular system. Ultimate Life Force. Everybody should be taking this. It's the best formula out there, made from the two top best-selling formulas fused together. You need it. It is amazing. Just get it. Know you're supporting the broadcast so you can't lose, and then you'll be pleasantly invigorated, not surprised, I don't BS, when you get great benefits. But what you really feel quick and see the fastest is Ultramethylene Blue. There's also another big sale going until next Tuesday. That's the Get Free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. When you spend $75 or more at checkout, $10 is taken off. So if you spend $75, when you check out, it's $65 on top of all the discounts. 25% off store-wide, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. What an adventure to wear it. The ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it. That's 25% off, and then $10 off at checkout on top of that. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The coordinates to keep this broadcast on the air. I don't own it, so they shut down InfoWars. That's our sponsor with the Alex Jones Network and what comes after. So we need the funds. They're incredible products. The only way you fail is not taking action. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
And we're going to keep you up to date on the very latest. But it's not all bad. We've got a lot of good to celebrate. And the First Lady is doing just that. She forced the Daily Beast to not only retract one of their reports, but also to issue an apology, something the Daily Beast probably did not want to do. As many of you guys probably recall, the Daily Beast went after the First Lady by trying to link her to Jeffrey Epstein and President Trump, saying that the two of them met through Epstein. Well, she claimed it was false. She told you it was false. She told the Daily Beast to take it back. And now they have to issue an apology. The Daily Beast apologizing to Melania Trump for the article they claimed that linked her. The article was based on a podcast with author Michael Wolff. Was retracted in July after Melania's lawyers intervened. But folks, they forced an apology. And so now the Daily Beast has done just that. The First Lady is not to be messed with, folks. She is not only classy, elegant, but she's also a badass. So good on her for getting that apology. And folks, speaking about Melania Trump, I've got to tell you, today is the big day. My book about Melania is out today. It is a beautiful coffee book. You got to head on over to Amazon. We just released it. It's His Elegance in the White House, Melania Trump. It is a great gift to give your loved ones. And you could just set it up on your coffee table and look at all the photos. It's my favorite photos of the First Lady because obviously she's beautiful. She's gorgeous. She's elegant and she's a badass. So let's celebrate her because the magazine covers won't take her, but we will. We will. That is a beautiful First Lady and she is worth celebrating. All right. So we continue to discuss everything that's going on all around the country right now. Kash Patel speaking in the Senate. We're dipping in and out of that. Plus, you know, President Trump has declared war on human traffickers. And he's looking and he's going to make it a top priority to save the children that went missing under the Biden regime, as many of you know. And DHS has given me the latest numbers. Over 400,000 children, migrant children, were shipped all around our country and are now lost. So now the Trump administration is out there and they're trying to find those children. But it's an extremely difficult task because why? Well, the Biden administration never vetted those sponsors. It is absolutely egregious that we even have to have these types of discussions, but that's the reality that we live in. The Biden administration, the vetting process, let me give you an example. All they did was require a WhatsApp video call. That's according to my sources. They never vetted the actual location that these kids were going to. There actually wasn't even an address in one of these locations. James O'Keefe has done an incredible job at digging into this as well. And for years, whistleblowers came forward and our federal government under the Biden administration did absolutely nothing about it. They operated one of the largest human trafficking operations, hand in hand with the cartels. And now the Trump administration is trying to correct all of these issues. A lot of these kids turning up, they were being used as slave labor, which is insane because obviously Democrats are still fighting for them to be used as slave labor. They were also sex trafficked. And sadly, DHS and HHS admitting that they have tried finding a lot of these kids and many of them have passed away. This should haunt everyone because we knew it was happening for the last 4 years with the Biden regime in the White House. And sadly, many people just did not speak up. It is gut-wrenching, but it is not surprising. But we're going to continue to speak up on these fronts. Sonia Lobosco is in this fight. She is helping find these children. She is helping stopping human trafficking throughout the country. And she's going to be reacting to all of that in just a few moments. But folks, I wanted to remind you to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com because there are so many incredible products over there right now. Number one, we talked about it yesterday on the show. We have a great t-shirt that you could support both Turning Point and Charlie Kirk's memory with, as well as you guys are supporting our work over at thealexjonesstore.com. So definitely take a look at that. You also got to take a look at the ultimate fat burner, folks. This is incredible. Say goodbye to stubborn fat and hello to a leaner, stronger you. We've all got those trouble spots that you're looking to get rid of. Ultimate Burn. It's available right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. America, get skinnier, get healthier. Do it with thealexjonesstore.com.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
TheAlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him. While
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills.
Do you like, oh, you like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah. It's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
On the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Telling you throughout the show, we have the FBI director right now speaking with the Senate, and there's a lot going on there. But he recently just kind of outlines the children that have gone missing throughout this country and the federal government's role in saving those children. Let's take a listen.
The last time I appeared before this committee was in January for my confirmation hearing. I told you then that if I were confirmed, I would provide and do everything I can to provide a safe and secure America. I promise to provide the courageous men and women of the FBI the tools and resources they need to crush violent crime and defend the homeland. I pledge myself to commit to full transparency, oversight, and accountability so we could restore the public's trust in the FBI. And that's exactly what I've done. Under this administration, the FBI has arrested more than 23,000 violent criminals. That's more than twice for the same time period from last year alone. 23,000, more than twice from the same time period last year. We've taken over 6,000 illegal firearms off the streets. That number is an exponential increase. We've identified and located more than 4,700 child victims. More than 4,700 child victims have been found by this FBI. That is a 35% increase from the same time period last year. 1,500 child predators have been arrested. That's a 5% increase from the same time last year. 300 human traffickers have been arrested. That's a 10% increase from the same time last year. Over 350 members of Tende Aragua, foreign terrorist organization, have been arrested, and we have 42 ongoing cases. That is a 250% increase from the same time last year. Those are just some of the things the FBI is doing differently and better because we are leading the mission to crush violent crime and defend the homeland. We have also arrested captured four top 10 fugitives from the FBI's top 10 most wanted list. To put that in perspective, that's the same amount I've captured in 7 months than my predecessor did during the entirety of the Biden administration. Those are real results, and the credit is to the men and women at the FBI.
Well, that's great to hear that thousands of children have been rescued under Patel's watch, but there are thousands of more that are still missing. And it's really just because of the Biden regime and how they helped operate the largest human trafficking ring throughout the country. But President Trump is really trying to crack down on crime. And yesterday we spoke about this, but he is doing his very best to help Memphis, Tennessee push back. Last year alone, it's absolutely egregious, but in 2024, Memphis, Tennessee had 249 murders, 429 rapes, over 5,000 burglaries, and over 12,000 violent assaults. So obviously there's a lot of problems in Memphis, but the biggest one so far has been the fact that Memphis, Tennessee is a trafficking hub. And so now President Trump, along with Kristi Noem over at DHS, are looking to crunch down on all of that. And you heard the FBI director saying that they are going after these pedophiles, and that is something we can all get behind. Now, Kristi Noem spoke about that yesterday during the press conference when President Trump was signing the memorandum. Take a listen.
Mr. President, Memphis has a high number of trafficking, significant human traffickers, child exploitation, drug trafficking. The local gangs there are extremely dangerous, and I'm so excited that you're going in there to work with not just the governor and willing local leaders, but also our attorney general and all the leaders that are standing here today to help protect our children. So what's going to change dramatically is the families' lives that live there. And it's only going to happen because of you, because you're coming in. What has started there, you're going to put on steroids. The networks that you're going to uncover across this country, because of the work that's going to happen in Memphis, we're going to see every city get safer because we're going to see those ties to other criminals that we're going to get out of the country. So we're a nation of laws. And, sir, thank you for caring about every single city.
Thank you, Kristi.
This is a top priority for the administration, and we are very thankful for that. Joining me to discuss is Sonia Labosco. She's not only a great friend, but she is also the director of United Abolitionists, and she is doing an incredible job at helping human trafficking victims find relief, find rescue efforts, find resources, and she joins us now. Sonia, thank you for being here. So much going on right now with the Trump administration looking to correct the issues from the last regime. But there was even more issues even prior to that, because sadly the United States has a human trafficking problem. We're actually in a crisis right now, and very few are willing to step up to the plate and fight back. You're one of them, though. So give us your reaction on what you're seeing with the Trump administration and how they're handling all of this thus far.
Well, Brianna, it's really great to see that, because at the end of the day, we're talking about fragile and helpless women and children, and also men as well. Men are trafficked as well. I mean, right now, currently, trafficking is about a $236 billion a year business around the world. There's over 40 million people enslaved. And Memphis, you know, if you break it down and look what's going on in Memphis, there's probably, you've got to look at not only just the law enforcement working in areas to eradicate trafficking, but we have to look at the regulations there as well, business license regulators, the Department of Commerce, the Department of Business regulations. You've got probably 20 strip clubs there in the Memphis Shelby County area. You've got 100 massage parlors. You've got over 100 nail salons. Those are a lot of areas that traffickers know that they can find fragile and groom women within those areas. So the business regulators need to come out and try to help. I know the Tennessee Bureau of Investigations is a very large group there that works law enforcement on the ground. But when it comes to human trafficking, I am ecstatic to see Trump put the resources where they need to be. There's also some major hubs in Memphis as well, I-40 and I-55, which are large transportation hubs to move victims in and out of Memphis. A lot of times they'll move the victims as well. They won't stay in one place too long, so they won't be discovered. So it's great to see these resources.
Yeah, and it's long overdue, and we're thankful that they're jumping on board with this. And we hope that this just kind of happens throughout the country, that there are other cities that they tackle this crisis on, because it's really, really important. You know, I spoke to DHS just a couple of weeks ago, and they crunched down the numbers, because a lot of us thought it was around 300,000 migrant children that were missing. DHS telling me it's much larger, actually, that the official number of missing unaccompanied migrant children is at 450,000. Now, they've recovered about 23,000 of those children, which is sadly just drops in the bucket. But they're finding these children everywhere. They're finding these children on marijuana growing farms. They're finding these children being sex trafficked. And sadly, they found over 24 of these children that have passed away. But it's really hard to track these kids down because the Biden administration, I would say, intentionally took the wrong information down and didn't vet these individuals properly. And although whistleblowers like Aaron Stevenson and
and Tara Rodas were coming forward and they were screaming from the top of the hill saying that there was something really bad happening, that we were handing children over to the cartels. Nobody did anything about it. And now we have this crisis on our hands. How do we begin to combat this? Because there are still over 400,000 children missing in this country right now.
Well, Brianna, I think one way that we can combat it is we got to bring our subject matter experts back, the ones that were reporting at the time of how the sponsors were taking the unaccompanied children and what they were doing to move them across the nation and all these different trap houses. And this is in every state in the United States, by the way. It's not just one state. Every state in the United States has an influx of unaccompanied children. So I think to build a team specifically dedicated to this within the White House underneath the Department of Justice or DHS, like Tara Rodas, Aaron Stevenson, Ali Hopper, Jerry Sadowski, those that have come forward have been talking about the labor trafficking, sex trafficking, organ harvesting. I mean, everything that you can imagine that's the most horrible crime against humanity is happening right now, and it's happening right here in the United States. So I think if we put together a swift team, a fast team that could go out and help identify where these children are located and then direct law enforcement where they needed to go to recover them, I think we would see in record time a lot more children recovered than we have right now. And I'm glad to see those that we have seen recovered, but I think we could do it in record speed with the right team in place.
Yeah, and that needs to happen. I mean, the fact that these children, over 400,000 of them, are still missing is just so upsetting. And they're trying. The Trump administration is at least trying, but they are over their head when it comes to this. And so we do hope they bring these people back because they know it better than anyone else. They were telling us before all of this was actually made public and DHS admitted to this, they were telling us what was happening behind the scenes. And they need to be rewarded for being truth tellers, for being brave enough to do just that. Sonia, I want to turn to something else in regards to the war that's going on right now, but it's with our country and the drug cartels. The drug cartels were and they have been going after us for quite some time, killing off thousands and thousands of Americans by poisoning us with fentanyl. And the reality of it is the several administrations just refused to fight back and would just have these little cushy events at the White House, but weren't really doing anything about it. Well, President Trump has had enough, and he has declared war on all of these Venezuelan gangs that are trying to smuggle their drugs into our country. And we saw it just yesterday. He ordered a strike on this. This is a boat that was allegedly carrying drugs on board. There were three individuals who were killed during this strike. He has said, we're done. We're going to keep fighting back. You want to come to the United States with your drugs? We'll get you. We'll get you in the water. And I think this is a really important fight to take up because, Sonia, you know exactly the numbers. You know how many Americans have died from these drugs they're trying to continuously bring in. So your reaction to the Trump administration declaring war against these Venezuela drug smugglers?
Well, let's face it. Drugs, what they're trying to do to our country, it is a weapon of mass destruction. It is a chemical that kills. I mean, when we talk about statistics, they're not even statistics. We're talking about mass deaths, 213 Americans every day dying, 1,500 a week, almost 6,000 a month. If that's not mass casualty based on the drugs being brought in this country, President Trump has every authority under Article 2 of the Constitution to protect the United States from weapons of mass destruction. And I hope to see him take it one step further. I hope they can track these boats and whoever owns these boats, they can actually go back and put international charges on them for conspiracy to bring a weapon of mass destruction in the country. So I would like to see him take this one step further as well.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing if he could do that. And I know we're going after the Venezuelan leader right now, but it's, again, there's so much more that we could be doing. But it's exciting to see that there's at least one person who's willing to take on these cartels because so many people fear them. They fear them, and they don't want this fight. But President Trump is dedicated to the mission. Sonia Labosco, as always, you're doing incredible work. I highly recommend our audience. Give her a follow on X. You are one of the very few people who is a truth teller. You're fighting for whistleblowers throughout the country. And I think we're going to have you back on the show again tomorrow because we've got an exclusive for our audience coming their way. So we look forward to having you back on the program tomorrow.
Thank you, Brianna. And we always are appreciative of our time on InfoWars.
Yes, thank you, Sonia. We appreciate you as well. Folks, we've still got Kash Patel testifying right now in front of the Senate, and it looks like he's on the topic of trafficking right now. So let's dive back into that, and I'll see you on the other end of it.
Me, quote, all FBI employees will be protected against political retribution, and you assured one of my colleagues that you would honor the internal review process of the FBI. I'm not going to mince words. You lied to us. In the short time that you've been FBI director, you've presided over a rash of retaliatory firing. Three FBI agents have recently sued you. They are FBI agents with 60 years between them of distinguished service, rescuing hostages, saving kids from predators, dismantling drug cartels. And their allegations, their civil allegations, are a searing indictment of your tenure as FBI director. But it's not just those three. The FBI Agents Association has said that your actions, quote, distract agents from their work, foster fear that their assignments could cost them their careers, either now or under the next administration, and increase the risk of criminal and national security threats by undermining unity and morale within the Bureau, end quote. This association, as you know, is voluntary. It represents 14,000 members, 90% of all the active agents. These are your employees saying that your performance has been unqualified and unfit. And there is mounting evidence that these retaliatory firings were the result of direction from the White House. There have been instances in the past here, history of the Bureau, of political interference and political direction from the director's office, but not the kind of institutional interference that we're seeing from the White House right now. I'm going to ask you, has anyone from the White House contacted you about personnel decisions?
I completely disagree with your entire premise that I have lied or misleading the FBI. If I were, the results that I announced today by the men and women of the FBI and the historic records we are doing to keep this country safe would not be possible. The men and women of the FBI are responding to our leadership and this administration's priorities. The only way people get terminated at the FBI is if they fail to meet the muster of the job and their duties. And that is where I will leave it. And you accusing me of lying is something I don't take lightly, but I'm not going to get into a tit for tat with you.
Well, let me just ask you to answer my question. Has anyone from the White House contacted you about personnel decisions?
Generally speaking, we always discuss with the White House, OMB, during the budget process, how many personnel we need, who we need where.
Answer is yes.
For budgetary purposes and real
life. Fire people, agents, because they participated in investigations of the president.
I don't receive directions to do that.
Has anyone
I make the decisions.
It? Has anyone asked you to do it? The best information is yes, you've taken suggestions and direction from the White House in firing qualified agents.
Any termination at the FBI was a decision that I made based on the evidence that I have as a director of the FBI, and it's my job, and I'm not going to shy away from it. And as you stated, those are allegations, and that is an ongoing litigation. So they'll have their day in court, so will we.
The allegations are not just in that lawsuit, Director Patel, and I think your testimony confirms that, in fact, you've taken direction from the White House.
I don't
in those retaliatory firings.
It literally does not.
Because you've acknowledged that, in fact, they have been in contact with you about personnel decisions.
The White House has been. Do not put words in my mouth. We're on the record. The White House, like any administration, contacts its agencies on the budgeting process and where it needs personnel and where the mission priorities are. That always happens. If they didn't do that, they would be abdicating the responsibility to law enforcement. I will always work with my partners in the chain of command at the Department of Justice and the White House to ensure that this FBI is delivering the results we are delivering, to include the lowest murder rate in modern U.S. history, to include the most fentanyl seizures in modern U.S. history, to include the most lives saved and the most children found in modern U.S. history. That is a working FBI. That is not a failing FBI.
Let's move on to a related area. In White House discussions, have you been asked or directed by the White House or others to engage in a crackdown on political groups or organizations, nonprofits, after the murder of Charlie Kirk?
To direct at political organizations? No. I've been asked by my chain of command to properly root out criminal activity wherever it is in whatever investigation we are conducting. And that's what we're doing.
Have those distinctions about whom you're going to target been based on direction from the White House?
Nobody gives me a list on who to target. My targeting list is from the men and women at the FBI.
Have you talked about investigating certain groups, nonprofits, or foundations or institutions?
Whatever those investigations are, they're ongoing, and I'm not going to get into those.
Have you used polygraphs to determine loyalty of agents?
No.
Have you committed that you will respect the First Amendment rights of agents?
I have wildly committed to respecting the First Amendment rights of agents, but at the FBI, you have to balance your First Amendment rights with your mission.
Have you imposed any sort of loyalty test in the course of using polygraphs or in any of the other personnel decisions?
Polygraphs have been utilized at the FBI for decades. They will continue to be utilized in the fashion by the professionals that administer them.
Have you asked under the polygraph test about individuals' loyalty or about their voting records or any kind of past statement?
Just to make it abundantly clear, I don't tell the professionals how to conduct polygraphs or what questions to ask. They make those decisions. And I, as the director of the FBI, never ask anyone who they voted for.
Have you investigated donors to a political party simply because they are donors?
Simply based on that fact alone? No.
Have you investigated donors for another reason?
Many donors may be involved in criminal enterprises and criminal activities, and those individuals will be investigated.
Can you commit to make public the Epstein files that so far have not been released if this committee is able to review them on a classified basis?
I think this is an important distinction. The Epstein case file is not classified, to my understanding. So we are providing what we legally can, and we are going to give Congress what we are legally permitted to do so to the maximum extent of the law.
Will you enable the chairman and the ranking member to review them on a classified basis?
That doesn't make any sense. If the material in the Epstein file is not classified, there is no basis for a classified review.
Well, it would protect
review.
The confidentiality of them if they were able to review them on a classified basis.
If anyone in this room can get the multiple district court judges to lift their court protective orders in the ceilings, we will happily provide you with more information.
Are you in favor of merging the DEA and the ATF?
That's not something for me to comment on.
Stupid.
Well, those agencies work with you, don't they?
With me, not for me.
We've got to stop. We've got to stop electing people to office that are this stupid. The line of questioning, obviously very biased, and it's interesting, right? Because Democrats in the Senate and in the House, they didn't ask these kind of questions when the Biden regime was purging individuals from the FBI. No, they didn't ask these questions. They didn't ask when they were targeting their own whistleblowers like Kyle Serafin, Steve Friend, Garrett O'Boyle, and so many others. But now they want transparency. Now they want to know if the FBI is asking people for their political alliance. How convenient. How convenient. Not surprising. The hypocrisy is outrageous. And it's just still ongoing. And how they could do it with a straight face is pretty disgusting in itself. But I think Patel handled those questions fairly well, given the fact that he was talking to a very low IQ human being. And so you got to give credit where credit's due. All right, we've got a lot going on. And when we come back, my good friend, Miss Sarah Gonzalez from The Blaze, is joining us because we've got a lot to sign off on. And we're going to do just that next.
5 years, I've had all these scientists on promoting spike protein detoxes that have saved so many people and done all this. And finally, we're like, hey, we better do our own. Let's make the best. We take the two best-selling ones, combine the two with stuff that the government tried to ban so people would die. And yeah, we're selling stuff that really works. Tell us about Ultimate Life Force. It's a horse pill. I take it a few times a year as a detox. So good for cardiovascular. Just one of the ingredients in this alone is on record a game changer they tried to ban. Right. This is so important.
N-acetylcysteine, better known as NAC, was widely available pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, during COVID, they took it off Amazon because it was too powerful. Too many people were getting well from it. They say, okay, this isn't a supplement. This is a drug. Now, we're not making that claim this is a supplement, but it is a supplement that is so powerful it could be used and compared to something like that.
And what is NAC?
N-acetylcysteine is the main precursor to your body's master antioxidant, glutathione, right? Glutathione is what your body uses to detoxify everything. But most importantly, your lungs. NAC reduces lung mucus and is incredibly powerful. This is rocket fuel. This is the gasoline. This is the fuel you need to make the glutathione. But more importantly, even than that almost, I was taking a look at Ultimate Life Force, and I forget about these things. These things are something that they wanted to ban even more. The natokinase and the serapeptase, those are compounds that go in and break down blood clots and scar tissue and inorganic things in the body. That's for the spike protein. The cool thing is everybody, every human can get healthy. It just takes different specific steps to get healthy. And that's why they're becoming knowledgeable about...
Well, that's like breeds of cows. They're like, these cows can handle the heat. These cows can't. These cows can handle cold. They can't. These dogs can handle this. These can't. We're all dogs. We're all cows. We're all the same species, but there's certain things each group can't handle.
No, 100%. I agree with that. And it's so key. I mean, the reason why Methylene Blue has just been such an incredible hit to the audience and to the supporters, listeners, to us, everyone, is because, well, like, we really feel the effect, you know?
It's like the Garden of Eden. God made all these things to work together.
It's all there. The information's readily
available. No, it's absolutely incredible. These are great products. They fund the operation. And, folks, it's common sense. Go get them. TheAlexShowStore.com. Get the bovine colostrum, get the methyl drive, get the power plant, get the methylene blue, get it all.
What's cool about supplements, at least to me, is you're able to look at these different genetic groups, and then you can go, okay, they need help with this one thing, we got a compound for that.
All we did was go out with the top selling products of all the studies and just combine them together.
100%. And I mean, you look at this product, the NAC alone makes it worth buying, but you've got four or five other things in there directly targeted to addressing COVID and long COVID.
People say, well, I don't have COVID right now. The point is, it's good for you, period.
100%. We've all got scar tissue in us. We've all got issues. We've all got these inorganic compounds, these microplastics. When you look at something like Ultimate Life Force, it might be able to address some of those situations. You look at this, you look at the other products we're offering you, it's kind of hard to do an individual pitch for them because they're all so amazing. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our Ultra Methylene Blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on Methylene Blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take. Well, this is something so powerful they tried to ban it.
So the Methylene Blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, everyone. Glad you're still with us. There's breaking news that we're going to start off with that just came in right now. The suspect accused of killing the UnitedHealthcare CEO, Luigi Maggiani. Well, a judge just dropped one of his top terrorism charges. that just happening right now in a courtroom. And of course, his supporters are outside that courtroom celebrating. It's obviously egregious and disgusting, but it's not shocking behavior from the left. We'll continue to follow that story as it develops. But speaking about all of the absolutely egregious things that are going on all around the country, we can't sit here and shy away from criticizing people in this current administration. I'm talking about the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, because she's made it very clear that she's going to target those when it comes to the First Amendment. Now, she's not as bad as the Biden regime, but folks, we just heard that Steven Crowder is apparently going to get subpoenaed by the ATF in regard to who his source was behind a story he broke last week on the Charlie Kirk assassination. But today, she's making the headlines and she's got many infuriated on social media regarding free speech and how she plans on targeting it. Take a listen.
There's free speech and then there's hate speech. And there is no place, especially now, especially after what happened to Charlie, in our society.
Do you see more law enforcement going after these groups who are using hate speech and putting cuffs on people so we show them that some action is better than no action?
We will absolutely target you, go after you, if you are targeting anyone with hate speech, anything. And that's across the aisle.
Yeah, I don't think you and I both want whoever is occupying the White House to decide what hate speech is. And it sounds like to me that the Attorney General thinks that hate speech is just speech that she hates. Now, she did try to clarify on social media what she meant by all of this, saying that she's talking about violence and that's not protected by the First Amendment. But again, depends what you consider to be violent speech. And it's pretty open-ended in that. But if you're wondering how Charlie Kirk would have felt about this, about the AG using his assassination as an excuse to trample on the First Amendment, we've got tons of evidence that he wouldn't be happy, including a tweet where he called it out. He doesn't want free speech trampled on, and he was an advocate for having these discussions openly. So now that the Attorney General says that they're going to be targeting those who are making threats online, it's safe to say that the individual who found a turning point and wanted to hold these discussions wouldn't like this at all, saying hate speech does not exist legally in America. There's ugly speech, there's gross speech, there's evil speech, and all of it is protected by the First Amendment. Keep America free. Joining me now is freedom lover Sarah Gonzalez. She is the host of the Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered Show, available on The Blaze, and she's with us now. Sarah, man, you know, you and I don't shy away from criticizing this administration. And when we heard these comments that were made by the Attorney General, we were very concerned. Your reaction to what she said and how she's trying to, you know, track back a little bit and pretend like it's just violent speech that she's talking about.
Yeah, Brianna, thank you for having me and congrats on the gig here at InfoWars. You couldn't be, joining a better group of people. So it's awesome to be on with you. So listen, Pam Bondi is someone that, that I've had questions about from the beginning. Pam Bondi, when Donald Trump said that he was thinking about her for the AG position, I tried to remind everyone of the comments that she had made prior, regarding red flag laws and some of the issues that she had had and come out on that really were not as conservative as I would personally like, and I know you would like, in an attorney general that is in the entire, like guiding the entire Department of Justice of the United States. And so this is someone who we've already had questions about. We've already wondered, how does she have time to go on, you know, 50 Fox News hits and yet not release the Epstein files? And so this is someone who, I mean, with questions from the beginning, she's done nothing except add more questions to her credibility and her, you know, her conservative leanings when she's leaning into something that is a leftist talking point. Hate speech is a leftist talking point. That's what I hear from the left all the time. It's what the Biden administration used. It's what the Obama administration used. The term hate speech was, of course, a leftist talking point. And to have that point coming from the Trump administration is very scary to me, Brianna, because as you point out, this is a term that you can use to mean whatever you you like it to mean? Who is deciding what is hate speech? What keywords do you need to use in order to be determined hate speech? I mean, the list goes on of how subjective this can be and how a government could weaponize it against its own people, which is why, of course, Charlie Kirk was in favor of making sure that all speech was free. Hate speech is still free speech. It is still protected by the First Amendment. That is the great thing in this country. And the fact that Pam Bondi can go in and try to, you know, water down the idea that we have a First Amendment right in this country, that she's going to go after people who are committing, quote, hate speech, that's very scary to me. I was happy to see her backtrack, but unfortunately, Brianna, I think it's only because she was hit so hard by her own party, by her own side, that she even thought that she needed to backtrack. I mean, thank God for voices out there who told her that she was wrong, but this is a woman who I fear has very bad intuitions when it comes to what is truly conservative and, more importantly, what is constitutional.
Yeah, and that's the problem here, because you would expect the top attorney in the United States to understand that these things aren't constitutional, and it's deeply, deeply concerning. But, I mean, there's some speech that's not acceptable, and it's for individuals to fight in courts about. I'm talking about President Trump, who does take on these battles, but he doesn't want to silence these people. He wants to sue them, and it's something that we could all support. The president actually announcing yesterday on Truth Social that he has launched a $15 billion defamation and libel lawsuit against the New York Times in regards to how they kind of framed Kamala Harris during the 2024 campaign and how they just continue to spew lies and nonsense. Now, the president has a pretty good track record when it comes to these defamation lawsuits, and so this should be pretty interesting to see. Do you think the president has a case here?
I think that he has a case, and I think there are a lot of Americans who have a case, and unfortunately that they are not in the position that President Trump is in, where he has the ability and the means to go after these people. The left wing, the leftist mainstream media have been lying about all of us for a very long time. They've called us all Nazis. They've called us all white supremacists. They have a very long track record of lying. And unfortunately, the average American who gets lied about, who gets slandered in the mainstream media, doesn't have the ability to just go after them just to be able to clear their own names. Thank God President Trump does, and he's utilizing his means to make sure that these people cannot lie and defame you and slander you. That is illegal. That is, in fact, not protected by the First Amendment. You don't have the right to go out and intentionally and knowingly lie about someone just to slander them. And I want to make one other thing very clear here, Brianna, when we talk about the ins and the outs of the First Amendment and the Constitution and your right to free speech. The government may not be able to go after you with hate speech, because hate speech is not a thing. And I'm very glad about that. But what I am also glad about, Brianna, is that the people who go out there, who show us their true character, who show us who they really are, who say disgusting things, evil things about Charlie Kirk and about his untimely death and about the fact that he was assassinated by a left-wing lunatic. The people who go out and do that are now, of course, having all their words come back to bite them. And that is not cancel culture. And that is not any sort of hate speech being policed. That is, of course, called consequences of your own actions. And when you have these people who are going out there, they're now having their employers being told that they are saying these things online. And you know what? There are consequences. Freedom of speech doesn't mean that you don't have any consequences for your own words, for your own actions. And so I want to be really clear here. That is the court of public opinion, and that is how it should work when these people come out and show us who they really are. We then get to make an informed decision. Do I want to associate with this person? Do I want this person to work for my company? Do I want this person to represent me? And people are getting to see in real time that freedom of speech may not mean that you get to keep your job if you want to continue lying. And so we've got all of these different consequences, one of which I hope is that the New York Times is completely bankrupted by President Trump, because we need more of these organizations, all of these leftist organizations, whether it's the doctors that are chopping off healthy body parts of children, whether it's these left-wing lunatics who are writing all of these lies and slander about President Trump, all of these organizations need to be put on notice that we might not be able to change your radical ideology, but we will bankrupt you if we can, because unfortunately, that is the game that we're playing, and that is the only thing that they respond to, is the threat of bankruptcy. And if we can make sure that we put them on notice that they should be scared if they're going to intentionally lie and slander us, they should be scared that they're going to be bankrupted. That's just what time it is in this country right now.
Sarah, they made the rules. It's time that we start implementing them, because when they were on the other side of all of this, they had no problem going after innocent people and trying to bankrupt them just because of their alliance with the president of the United States. So, yes, I agree with you there, Sarah. Sarah Gonzalez, you're doing an incredible job over at The Blaze, of course, and you also have an incredible Twitter account. You confront the worst of the worst in Texas, and I love to see it, going after Jasmine Crockett. And you have no problem confronting her wherever she is. And so we look forward to your coverage. So give her a follow on X. It is much worth that. Sarah Gonzalez, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brianna.
Folks, I got to tell you to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com, because there is a sale since it is the 1 year anniversary. So head on over right now, the alexjonesstore.com, because there are so many incredible deals that you're going to want to indulge in on this beautiful 1 year anniversary fundraiser sale. For this week only, all shirts and hats are just $25 instead of the regular $35. Plus, we are giving everyone a free $11 to spend on the store this week only. And the best part, there is no code necessary in order to get $75 off of all your order. $75 includes free shipping as well. Hold one second. This week only, you get all of that with no code, okay? So you got to go head over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and buy up all of this, because I'm telling you, folks, this sale is absolutely incredible. We haven't done anything like this before. Go there right now. Support us. It is an incredible 1 year anniversary fundraiser. I'm telling you, there is so much to stock up on. Even Ultimate Burn, which is now 50% off, but it's for a limited time, folks. Ultimate Burn, this is where you're going to want to burn off all that extra body fat. We all got to get skinnier. I'm telling you, we got to get healthier. This is the Maha movement. This is how you back it. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. On top of all of this, we are still following what's happening right now in the Senate. And Cash Patel is getting grilled by more Democrats. So we're going to dive right back into that right now.
Never left their primary job. It is a surge of resources in law enforcement working with the interagency to combat violent crime and reduce violent crime in historic proportions.
That's your testimony. Okay, Director Patel, the FBI is also the lead federal agency for investigating cyber attacks and cyber intrusions, both by foreign nation states and by non-state hacker groups. Since President Trump's inauguration, the Executive Assistant Director in charge of the criminal and cyber branch and the head of the FBI's cyber division have both left the FBI. What are the names of the people who replace them in those positions?
The cyber branch is one of the most impressive at the FBI. 409 arrests this year, 169 convictions. That's a 42% increase from the same time last year.
Any suggestion that
the FBI cyber division is not operating at full capacity and better than ever before, the leadership at the branch is implementing these changes necessary to attack the cyber and ransomware infrastructure operators from Iran, China, and Russia.
You know why they're important? I want to know who has those positions, since the people who originally were there
supremely qualified individuals have those positions.
Who are they?
Supremely qualified individuals.
Who are they? What are the names?
You're not getting
You don't
them.
Know. Special agents who investigate cyber crime were also reassigned for immigration enforcement. Have those expert investigators returned to their duties? Yes or no?
All agents remained on their primary duties while surging to allocate resources for interagency operations to the Homeland Security Task Forces across this country.
So are you?
Am I what?
See, I'm not getting the yes or no answers. I get all this explanation. So there you go.
No, you get the work that the men and women of the FBI are doing. You don't want that.
Additional personnel cuts to the cyber division in the future.
The only people that will be terminated at the FBI will be those that violate their oath of office, fail to meet the high standards at the FBI.
Director Patel, the FBI is meant to be the tip of the spear in combating terrorism against the United States from both foreign and domestic sources. It's also our lead agency in fighting the hackers who target our businesses and critical infrastructure. But instead of a specialized role fighting these kinds of terrorists, hackers and spies, you have the FBI playing the role of local police and helping with immigration enforcement. I'm going to move on to my, you know, you've been asked some questions about changes to your hiring standard, and including college degrees and possibly the age. But, you know, one question I had is, that you are now requiring applicants to be able to do a certain kind of pull-ups, which a lot of women cannot because of physiological differences.
Ooh.
Are you requiring...
There's a difference between men and women?
These kinds of pull-ups?
We are requiring a physical program at BFTC at Quantico because FBI agents carrying guns in the field have to chase down bad guys and do really hard work. The physical fitness standards of those agents
so
are being appropriately assessed.
So are you requiring these kinds of pull-ups?
We are requiring everybody to pass the 1811 standards at BFTC. If you want to chase down a bad guy and put him in handcuffs, you better be able to do a pull-up.
The reason I ask is that there are concerns about whether or not being able to do these kinds of harsh pull-ups is really required of FBI agents.
Doing one pull-up is not harsh, and there are always medical exemptions to that.
I am gravely concerned by the state of the FBI under your control. And in fact, you are willing to take a cut in your agency of almost $500 million. So the FBI is losing dedicated employees, decades of expertise, and specialization, leading to loss to early retirements, firings, and reassignments to immigration enforcement or conducting local police work. Thousands have already left. For as long as you remain as the head of the FBI, I fear the number of departures and summary firings will continue to grow. Mr. Patel, before the vote on your nomination of this committee, I noted that your most significant qualification – this is not just something that I noted, but others. Your most significant qualification was your 100% loyalty to President Trump. And I fear that that continues to be the motivating factor in your position as FBI director. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mayor, Mr. Chairman.
Director Patel, did you have anything you wanted to say now?
That is an entire falsehood. You can delete my 16 years of government service to multiple administrations all you want. The fact is that I was a public defender. I was a national security prosecutor. I was a House intelligence staffer. I was a deputy director of intelligence. I was a chief of staff to the Department of Defense and the Secretary of Defense. I led the counterterrorism missions for the White House. Those are just some of the jobs I held in my 16-year career. There was no loyalty then. There's no loyalty now to anything but the Constitution.
Senator Brett.
Yes. Well, before I begin, I want to thank Senator Hirono for what she said, acknowledging that there are physical differences between men and women. Talking about that women wouldn't be able to do as many pull-ups, and I think that she was making a case here that there should be different standards. There's a thing called Title IX, and this is why we continue to say we should have biological men and men's sports and biological women and women's sports. And so I look forward to utilizing that to talk to all of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. Maybe they will stand with us in helping us protect women's sports. I think she made a great argument there for it. Moving on to today, Director Patel, thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to making sure that America is safe. Again, thank you for doing that coast to coast and within our cities. I certainly look forward to talking about that and talking about your historic gains in these areas. But I would be remiss if I didn't begin my questioning with you about the horrific events that we have seen over the last week. Obviously, our heart breaks not only for Erica and Charlie's two children and for parents and families, but for America and for those of us who knew him, you being chief among those. So just my sincere condolences and thank you for the steps that you and the FBI have taken to make sure that we have someone within custody and we're going to be able to move forward with that. But if you look over the last, you know, since last summer alone, we had two assassination attempts on the president. We've had an arson attack on the governor of Governor Shapiro there in Pennsylvania. You have the murder of the state representatives, Melissa Hortman and her husband in Minnesota, along with the shooting of state Senator John Hoffman and his wife. Several anti-Semitic attacks, several attacks on Christians that were noted by Senator Hawley. We had the killing of two Israeli embassy staffers here in D.C., the June firebombing in Colorado, We could go on, and we saw a culmination, as Senator Schmidt said, with the brutal assassination of Charlie Kirk last week. I appreciate you committing to both Senator Hawley and Senator Kennedy, talking about making sure that all that are involved are held accountable. I think that is critically important, and I think that America needs that transparency. I want to read you some words of Vice President J.D. Vance. He said, if we want to stop political violence like what happened to Charlie Kirk, we have to be honest about the people who are celebrating it and the people who are financing it. My question to you is, in light of Charlie's murder and all of the things that we have just referenced and have been talking about today, what steps is the FBI taking to more aggressively crack down on those who promote, encourage, finance, fund these types of engagements and this type of political violence?
Thank you, Senator, for your kind words. So in terms of how we crack down on the root cause of this violence, for now, putting aside the ideological motivations and how they got there, the monetary issue is a real issue. And as I've said before, we follow the money. So we work with our partners at the Treasury Department to trace where the money came from, how these individuals paid for the training they received or the platforms they were using, and also how these individuals collectively got together in whatever groups they were on whatever social media sites they were on, to utilize clickbait to make money for their ideology. And so to trace all of those, we are using, not just in the Charlie's investigation, but others, lawful process and serving 2703D orders on any entity that is related in any way financially to any of these criminal acts of violence. And we are going to hold them accountable with our partners at the Department of Justice.
Excellent. I would love to stay abreast of that, and just, we must get to the bottom of it. We must follow the money. Someone is funding this discourse. Do you believe, obviously there are people here, unfortunately, American citizens that may be engaged in that, but do you also believe that some of this may be coming from overseas? Yeah.
All right. So when it comes to following the money, that's what we're going to do on the show tomorrow. I've got Mel Kay joining us, and Mel's been spending years and years following the money from these NGO groups to radicalize Americans and to house and funds these domestic terrorists who are throughout our country. Mel has so much to say on that front, and we look forward to having her on the program tomorrow. Let me give you some more programming notes. I've been doing a deep dive into a report that I'm going to exclusively break for you all tomorrow in regards to, sadly, our service members being poisoned on boats. Well, folks, there's not much being done to secure their safety. They're not being handed the proper PPE, and there's one man who is brave enough to speak out, but it's sadly because he has a terminal illness, and we're going to bring you the latest on that. It's regarding also, just to highlight, the DOD. So I've been reaching out for comments. We've gathered this report. We're going to break it for you exclusively here on American Journal tomorrow. Sonia Labosco joining me for that. I'll also be joined by my friend, Mr. Graham Allen. He's joining the program tomorrow. A lot to talk about with him, and I look forward to that discussion. And then Paulo Figueiredo is going to be joining the program. Paulo is a journalist from Brazil who was forced to, I guess he can't go back to Brazil now. We know he can't because the Supreme Court has targeted him. But obviously the former president of Brazil, Javier Bolsonaro, was just sentenced to 27 years in prison, and there's a lot to discuss on that front. So he's joining us tomorrow to react. Because, folks, when you look at Brazil, the reason why it's so important, and normally I would say focus your energy on something else, is what's happening in Brazil is what they wanted to do to President Trump. They wanted to throw him in prison for you never to see him again. So there's a lot that we have to track down on that front. I look forward to it tomorrow on American Journal. You guys got to be here. Make sure you're here. But now it's time for Alex Jones, so don't go anywhere.
TheAlexJonesStore.com and experience these products like Ultramethylene Blue. It will change your life. It will be so empowering for you. And then you'll be hooked and keep buying it so we can stay on the air and expand, which is my plan in the face of all these globalist attacks. So I'm announcing this on Tuesday, September 9th. We're only running this till next Tuesday. It is a giant, multifaceted sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best medical grade quality out there. The rave reviews are insane. Such good energy, such clarity, such focus. No letdown. 50% off. Same thing for the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the detox super empowering system for your cardiovascular system. Ultimate Life Force. Everybody should be taking this. It's the best formula out there, made from the two top best-selling formulas fused together. You need it. It is amazing. Just get it. Know you're supporting the broadcast so you can't lose, and then you'll be pleasantly invigorated, not surprised, I don't BS, when you get great benefits. But what you really feel quick and see the fastest is the Ultimate Methylene Blue. There's also another big sale going until next Tuesday. That's the Get Free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. When you spend $75 or more at checkout, $10 is taken off. So if you spend $75, when you check out, it's $65 on top of all the discounts. 25% off store-wide, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. What an adventure to wear it. The ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it. That's 25% off, and then $10 off at checkout on top of that. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The coordinates to keep this broadcast on the air. I don't own it, so they shut down InfoWars. That's our sponsor with the Alex Jones Network and what comes after. So we need the funds. They're incredible products. The only way you fail is not taking action. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.